through. They showed me that it was possible to live and to flourish.
Paralyzed Veterans of America, continuing to serve. Call 1-866-USA-4-PVA.
Attention, baby boomers of America. A message from the American Optometric Association.
Your little foray into middle age has introduced you to presbyopia, a loss of close focus. And you've probably run to the drugstore to try on reading glasses by trial and error.
The opening's up next.
See your optometrist. Or you could just learn to live with the headaches and the poor fitting glasses on the nose.
The following is a paid commercial announcement. The views and opinions expressed and the advice offered by the host are not necessarily those of Wink WNOG, Fort Myers Broadcasting, Meridian Broadcasting, or any of their affiliate sponsors or assigns.
Document more important than this, because without free speech and a free press, all of our other freedoms would not survive. The right of free speech and peaceful dissent ensures that all American voices may be heard, no matter what the circumstance. We've watched other countries lose their right to free speech and turn into totalitarian nations where truth was whatever the ruling class deemed it to be. We cannot allow this to happen in America. We cannot afford to give up nor compromise these sacred rights. It is in this spirit that Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics is proud to sponsor The Guy James Show.
Guy James Show. Glad to have you along with us this evening, coming to you from the sandy beaches and blue waters of gorgeous Fort Myers in Naples, Florida. Very glad you're along with us tonight. I hope it is a spectacular day where you are. It certainly was here. A little warm today, about 92, and starting to get the old humidity to come up a little bit, so that's something we have to put up with around here starting about now every year. And let's see, what do we got on the calendar today? We got a lot of things going on. Of course, we're going to talk about Memorial Day. I do hope all of you will get a chance to observe Memorial Day in the proper fashion. I don't know if we're prepared tonight or not. We were out on the road most of this past week. We traveled to Cleveland to meet with some people who are interested in taking the show to a new and exciting level. We're not talking about this happening next week or next month, but we do have a very good chance in teaming up with a radio organization, which will put the show in front of many, 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 many times more listeners than we have right now. I can't go into detail, but it was a very satisfying experience to talk to these folks, as we didn't approach them. They approached us, and I guess they know good radio when they hear it. Huh? That sounds like bragging. I'm sorry, but I know the content of this program is as good as any on the air right now. We always have our facts straight, and we don't deal in any BS or spin like a lot of other shows, even if they claim it is a no-spin zone. There's no spin or BS on this program, and we pride ourselves in that. And we're just awfully glad to have all of you along with us this evening. You can call us, you know, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Locally, if you're in Lee County, Florida, 479-5540, and in Collier County, Florida, 263-6570. A lot of interesting news about real estate going on. I don't know why this came up right now, but I just was reading the other day about the folks down in Collier County. The median priced home in Collier County now is $460,000. I don't live in Collier County, by the way. I live with their poor neighbors to the north here in Lee County. But the old real estate bubble happening here in a big, big, big way. So you blink your eyes and property goes up $100,000. It's really something to see. Do want to say hello to, the Turtles down at Bentley Village, and, of course, all the good folks down at the Collier County Democratic Club and the Democratic Party of Lee County. Got the Lee County newsletter here, the Democratic Party of Lee County newsletter, and they usually let us know when they've got something they want to let everybody know about. Don't see an ad about the Guy James Show in here. In fact, I don't think I see a mention. Let me look through this. Do I see one mention in the Lee County Democrat newsletter about the Guy James Show? No. Okay. Thought so. That's what's wrong with Democratic politics across the country, I think. Well, anyway, don't get me started on that. But thanks to all of you folks who help support the program. As many of you know, this program has survived on contributions from listeners. Ever since its inception, we do have a sponsor now to help with some of the expenses, and we certainly do appreciate that as well. Another Memorial Day weekend, and it's the kickoff for summer activities for a lot of folks. I know a lot of you will be having backyard barbecues and picnics, and up north the local swimming pool opens. They're already open here, have been since all year long. Hate to rub that in. You know, a lot of communities, Little League Baseball gets started, and, of course, the parades. Love those parades, especially in the small communities. The local high school band always marches along with, the groups of little girls and twirling batons for the first time in their little outfits, just as cute as can be, and the fire trucks roll along with the firemen throwing candy at the kids. It's a wonderful time, a wonderful time. And I remember well watching the veterans march by wearing their sometimes ill-fitting uniforms, you know. We tend to put a pound or two on after a few years. But, you know, one thing I always noticed, their faces were gleaming with pride, the pride of men and women who helped keep this country free, all the while holding my dad's hand as the parade went by. My dad had big hands. I remember that. Remember my little hand and his big hand. And if there was a big enough crowd and I couldn't see, my dad had always put me up on his shoulder so I could enjoy the whole scene. That is, till my little brother came along, and then he got the position on top of dad's shoulders. But I'll take that up with him a little later. The advantage I had was that my father had served in World War II. And I was still able to hold his hand and sit atop his broad shoulders. My dad was a proud veteran. His gravestone is topped with a plaque from the United States Navy signifying his service to our country. And he didn't talk about it very much. It seems that not very many of them did. But when pressed for information, Dad would always tell stories about the war. And they were just amazing to a little kid. And some of them remain amazing to me to this day. I won't bore you with them, but believe me, some of the stories about guys who were out on ships with the kamikazes coming in and so forth, wow. But my father lived through that horrible time in our history. And how many little kids have had to watch a Memorial Day parade without having a dad's hand to hold because dad sacrificed his life in the service of our country? And how many mothers have looked at the American flag being flown in the Memorial Day parade and remembered her son or daughter's casket being draped with that same flag and felt the terrible sorrow that befalls any parent who's lost a child, maybe even with more unbearable sorrow because of losing their child to war, something that could have been prevented if only the human species would live up to its obligation of having dominion over this earth and learning to resolve conflict without the tragedy of another war. But when my father went to war, it was a different time. men and women join the military because of two things. They join because of honor and duty to the country. God knows they certainly couldn't live on the pay back in those days. I think a PFC got something like $60 a month. And like my father, many Americans joined the military on or very soon after the day after December 7, 1941. I think if you'd look up the record and find out, that was probably the biggest enlistment day in the history of the United States military, was on December the 8th, 1971, or 1941, rather, and it was a day which Franklin Roosevelt's words, in his words, a day to live in infamy. They were suddenly filled with thoughts of duty to our nation. Imagine the young people today. Put yourself in the position of those World War II people. They went and joined up the next day after being attacked. And they saw it as their duty, a duty which made hundreds of thousands of them put our freedom and the welfare of the United States above their safety and more importantly, more important than their lives. It's an amazing thought that another human being would willingly decide to put their lives at risk to save their homeland and the folks back home. How many of us actually feel that sense of duty so fervently that we too are willing to give the last full measure to defend our nation? How many of us can honestly say we'd choose the path of most resistance in order to contribute? You know, we can all sit back and hang a flag in our windows and flaunt a bumper sticker that says support our troops, but how many of us will actually dedicate our lives to the effort, as these many thousands of people have done? So for all of the veterans of our nation, especially in this year, this very difficult year, this very painful year once again in the history of this country, we find ourselves dedicating a remembrance to the veterans of the past as well as to the veterans of the present. We do not pay tribute to war by doing this. We will never pay tribute to war. We pay tribute to the physical and moral courage that's inspired men and women of the United States of America to bear the burden of sacrifice for their fellow man and for the country they love. Take a moment this weekend. Go to a parade, visit a cemetery where the flags are displayed this weekend, and gaze upon those graves. Each one of those small American flag represent not only that person's service to the military, but also their service to each and every one of us. They gave all they had to give. And we owe our freedom, our happiness, and our very lives in gratitude. We most certainly do. And we want to make sure that you all, if you can and if you so desire, be sure and remember all of our veterans on Memorial Day. We are at a very difficult time in our history right now. We're in another god-awful war, a war most of the American people didn't choose to be in. I think if you took a vote right now, there wouldn't be very many people say, gee whiz, we're in a just war, a war we need to be in. I think if you took a vote of the American people right now, the troops would be home tomorrow or as soon as practical to get them out of there. Memorial Day, to a lot of our older folks, as you remember, was originally called Decoration Day. It's a day of remembrance for all of those who've died in our nation's service and served. Lots of stories to its actual beginnings. There's about 24 places in America that say they started it. But there's a lot of evidence that organized women group in the South were decorating graves before the end of the Civil War. And that's really, really where it started. And then I think General John A. Logan back in 1868, I believe it was, really proclaimed it Decoration Day. And flowers were placed on the graves of the Union and Confederate soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery. And the first state to officially recognize the holiday was New York. They always lead in a lot of things. And by 1890, it was recognized by all of the northern states. The South refused to acknowledge the day, honoring their dead on separate days until after World War I, when the holiday changed from honoring just those who died fighting in the Civil War to honoring Americans who died fighting in any war. And it's now celebrated in almost every state on the last Monday in May. And that was passed in Congress back in 1971. And it ensures a 3-day weekend for federal holidays. And though several southern states have an additional separate day for honoring the Confederate war dead. I think Texas does, and Alabama does, and Florida, and Georgia, and Mississippi, and South Carolina. And June 3rd, Jefferson Davis's birthday in Louisiana and Texas, and Tennessee, rather. Back in 1915, I know a lot of people always have seen the people out with the poppies on around Memorial Day, the red poppies, and I had to look up where that came from. It came back in 1915 from a poem called In Flanders Field by Monia Michael. It said, "We cherish, too, the poppy red that grows on fields where valor led. It seems to signal to the skies that blood of heroes never dies." And she had the idea to wear poppies on Memorial Day in honor of those who died serving the nation during the war, and she was the first one to wear one. And she sold poppies to her friends and co-workers with the money and benefiting the servicemen in need. So a wonderful tradition started many years ago. My word, wouldn't it be great if we never have to honor any newly dead veterans? Wouldn't that be what we should be aiming for? I certainly think so. I think there will come a time when, I don't think there will ever be another time when we have as many war dead as we had in the Second World War and the First World War, the awful carnage that took place in modern war. You don't get as many people killed, I guess. But I hope we're spared another horrible war like that. Any war is horrible, including the one we're in right now. Going to go to Diana in North Fort Myers. Hi, Diana.
Hi, guys. Thanks for making me cry.
Oh.
You always do, because you can tell it's genuine and it's from the heart. And I thank you for that. You are a great American. And I wanted to say on today, for the people who've lost loved ones in the war and are left, children and wives and even husbands, my heart goes out to them, especially if they've died in Iraq. Because I was just listening to another channel, and it came on an hour before your show, and I switch over there and listen for an hour. And I had to call in because the same rhetoric over again, and why we're in Iraq. You know, the lies that we should hate Iraqis, the lies in that they attacked at us. Well, they never attacked at us. I had to call this guy, and he hung up on me anyway, censored me and hung up. But the thing was, I wanted to ask him, why doesn't he ever have the last widow from our soldier that died in Vietnam? Maybe they ought to, you know, talk to her. I'm sure that she's still alive, you know, and doing well. But why doesn't anyone ever interview the last widow from the Vietnamese War? And I would like to know who's going to interview the last widow from the war in Iraq. That's an illegal war. It's been proven through memos now from over in England that this war was planned back in 2000, but yet they're still going on the rhetoric that either, number one, that there was weapons of mass destruction and they were moved to Syria, which is a lie, or number two, we have the false information given to us through faulty intelligence, which is the biggest lie of all. And yet our guys are still dying over there every day, and Iraqis, innocent Iraqis, dying. There's over 100,000 of them now, dead. Dead for what? Dead for George Bush's no-bid contracts and lies. And the man is a war criminal. He's been AOL. He never did prove about his military service, but, oh, we have to have amnesia on that. We've never found out about the anthrax, but, oh, we have amnesia on that. We've never found out about all these microbiologists just coming up dead in weird ways, but, oh, we have amnesia on that. How many things has this country had amnesia on? Well, a few of the elitists make money off the blood of innocent people. And you know what? God's going to punish this country. And it's not because of people like you, Guy, or even me. I consider myself a very decent Christian, too. Because when you love the truth, what have you got? That is loving the Lord. But anything other than loving the truth is what. And so what are these self-proclaimed Christians that have hijacked my faith, they've hijacked my flag, they've hijacked my election booths, they've hijacked my government, they've hijacked my economy? What's left?
Right. Right. Well, you know, I happened to see some hate mail this week that said, and I know you'll love this, Diana, said, and I'll quote it, since 9/11, there have been no other attacks on our homeland. That credit must go to one man, President Bush.
Oh, what another lie. What another lie.
Can you imagine anybody being a fool enough to believe that?
And he sits and says, they say he's a man of prayer. Prayer to what?
Yeah.
You know, he better be praying, all right, because he has got a lot of errors to repent about.
Well, you'd have to.
He just keeps them going and mounting up.
I agree, and I think you'd have to be a complete imbecile to say there'd been no attack.
For what you said about Memorial Day, God love you, God, James. You are the best.
Thanks for calling, Diane.
Bye-bye.
Nice to hear from you. I'm going to go to Julio in Fort Myers. Hi, Julio.
Hey, what's going on, Gary?
Glad to have you with us today.
Hey, man. All right, so I wanted to talk about, like, this thing with, like, the judges and our whole problem that our conservative friends are trying to convince us that we have with our court system. Okay, so the reasoning, I guess, is that we have liberal judges in the courts, correct? That's what we're being told. Okay, who appoints these judges that they're talking about?
Well, they've been appointed by Clinton, Clinton? By George Bush the First, by Ronald Reagan,
Well, because, like, I was doing some math, right?
Uh-huh.
Since 1968, that was the year Nixon was elected, to the year 2008, that's when Bush will finish his last term. Right, that's 40 years. Okay, in those 40 years, we have only had a Democratic president for 12 years.
That's right.
Okay, out of those 40. What are the chances that in those 12 years, more judges were appointed than in the other 40?
Excellent point, Julio. Excellent point.
And so, in other words, what they're trying to convince us is, well, we know we've screwed this up this bad for the last 4 years, so just give us another chance to fix it.
Well, Julio, you know one of the scary parts of it, if you'll hearken back to the Terry Schiavo case, they're not even happy with their own right-wing judges.
Exactly.
They're not far enough right for them.
Right. That's what I'm getting at. And the people who, like, buy this nonsense and just keep on nodding and bobbing their heads, and yes, yes, sir, whatever, slap me again. You know, it's like, I heard Bill Miller on Fox News one time saying, how is it that 40 Democrats or 41 Democrats can have a majority vote over 59 Republicans or 59 voters? And I'm thinking, well, isn't that the Electoral College of the year 2000?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
you know, they were all for, you know, then, you know, the majority not having their way. You know, but now it's like, well, we need the majority to have our way. You know, and it's always like that. It's always double talk. And talking about the Iraq thing, like, I drove through Arcadia a couple weeks ago, and there was this house that was, like, just totaled. It was just totally destroyed. And I guess the owners of the house, like, they spray-painted a message for George Bush when he went to go campaign there. And the message on the house said, $6.9 million for DeSoto County, $87 billion for Iraq.
Yes, oh, geez, how prophetic that is. Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Oh.
And you know what? It took, I stopped. I had to park next to that house and read it. And I was like, I mean, how insane is that?
Well, you're absolutely right.
A state about as big as Iraq, okay, totally leveled in 1 year. Okay, by hurricanes, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people lost their businesses and their jobs and their houses. And here we are, you know, doing a liberal cause in another country when we're supposed to have conservatives in power, you know, who look after our country first.
Nothing conservative about these boys.
you know, and like I said, and the most upsetting thing is watching these people just continue to...
I wonder if Julio's on a cell phone. I think he is, and I think it went bye-bye on us. Sorry, Julio. I think that's what happened. I heard that little beep, beep, beep deal, and I think that's what happened. Julio, you can call back if you like. We'll make an exception in this case. I always just take one call per show, but if your phone goes dead like that, why, we'll take your call back. Yeah, can you imagine? Julio brought up a great point, and of course he always does when he calls. We love to hear from him because he always has, you know, researched and well-thought-out facts. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what the $300 billion we've committed to Iraq? could do for this country, for the health care, for the education, for the infrastructure in our own country. I don't want to sound selfish, and I don't think it is selfish to take care of ourselves first. We got many people in need in our own country, the elderly, the sick, the poor, and many, many things that needed attended to. $300 billion. I will submit to you that this present group of Republicans, I shouldn't call them Republicans. My apologies to you true Republicans for calling Bush and his gang Republicans. These neocons or whatever you want to call them, I think they would be considered liberal if they were in the Congress back in Lyndon Johnson's time. I really do think they would be the number one liberals. I think we may have Julio back. He took advantage of his second time around. Are you there, Julio? Have I got Julio? I still don't have Julio. Well, something's wrong here. I don't know what. I hear him there.
Hello, you hear him?
Yeah, I got you, Julio.
Right, there you go. I just wanted to make another point about Iraq. Since we're in a war of necessity and everybody feels like they're in danger because Iraq was ready to attack us, why are recruiting numbers going down?
Yeah, exactly right.
Why isn't everybody enlisting, you know, because this is a war of necessity. And like, you were talking about World War II, and it just sparked a thought in me, which is that, you know, can you imagine what the world would look like if we wouldn't have won that war?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Okay. And now rephrase the question, what would have happened if we would have never invaded Iraq?
Well, that's a good one. Absolutely nothing that I can see. I don't think there'd be any repercussions to the world at all. I don't think we'd be in any bigger trouble with the Muslim world than we are. We've made millions, perhaps hundreds of millions of enemies.
Yeah, and I could just, and one last point. Okay, about the last election. You know, a big deal was made about the black box voting, and in the 2000 election also. You know, and everybody's talking about how the election could have been rigged, and it could have, you know, who knows. Okay, but everybody always focused on the big election on November 2nd. Nobody ever, you know, if it's possible to rig the election then, wouldn't it have been possible to rig the election during the primaries?
Of course.
And nobody ever paid attention to that. Why is it that Howard Dean was ahead in every single poll that was taken, okay, and then all of a sudden it just switched and John Kerry was the winner? And in hindsight, you go back, and John Kerry was the perfect candidate for George Bush because all of Bush's weakest points, Kerry could not attack him. He couldn't attack him on the war because he voted for it. He couldn't attack him on the funding for it because he voted against it. He couldn't attack him on Abu Ghraib because he admitted to committing war crimes when he was in Vietnam. He couldn't attack him on the Patriot Act because he voted for it. And it was almost like line by line. It was like the perfect candidate for George W. Bush, that anything Kerry argues against him, he looks like a hypocrite and like a fool.
Julio, you want to come in and take over the microphone today? I think you're hot today.
I don't know. I'm hyped up, man.
I think you're right on the money. You've made some excellent points today, man.
Well, I'll let you get back to work.
Thanks
maybe.
For calling.
All right, bye-bye.
Did you hear that? Everything he said, bang, zoom, right on the money. Hey, we're going to pause for a break right now. We'll be back with more of the Guy James Show, brought to you by Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show. Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG. Whatever you need, whatever you want, is on sale now at Bill Smith at the guaranteed lowest price in Southwest Florida. Frost-free refrigerators, freezers, washers, dishwashers, smooth-top ranges, 32-inch TVs, DVDs, LCD TVs, high-definition widescreens, complete home theater systems, plus free delivery or 18 months interest-free. Bill Smith, Southwest Florida's largest selection of appliances and home electronics at the guaranteed lowest price.
Tomorrow's clouds today.
Now, see tomorrow's weather before it happens.
Clouds, even some rain showers.
With TrueView, only on Wink News.
Tomorrow, don't expect to see any sun.
TrueView's cutting-edge technology.
Notice how the clouds really roll in and increase.
Lets you see exactly what's coming and when.
Low clouds and fog early in the morning will dissipate.
The most advanced technology and certified local meteorologists. TrueView, only on Wink News. Southwest Florida's news leader.
Wake up to a new morning with Wink News. Patrick Gomer and Stacey Adams get you going with breaking news, weather, and exclusive Sky Eye traffic. Waking up is hard to do. Wink News makes it easier with your first forecast, your first look at the roads, and breaking news from around the corner and around the world. Wink News this morning, weekdays from 5 to 8, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader.
4 days, $5 for a car at one location. Germain Toyota's Big Lot on US 41 in Naples. Hundreds of used cars are on sale. $14,000 cars, now $9,000, $8,000 cars. Five, $4,000 cars, $2,000. Some cars will be sold for $5 each only at Germain Toyota's Big Lot.
Yes, yes, yes.
Starting at 10 a.m. sharp each day, cars will be sold for only $5 each Friday. $5 for a car. Saturday, get a car for $5. Sunday, $5 for a car. Monday, $5 is all you need for a car. Destination, Germain Toyota's Big Lot. Get here early, get behind the wheel, and reserve your $5 car. Germain Toyota's Big Lot, US 41 at Wiggins Pass, Naples. Call your county's biggest used car retailer. Is selling cars for only $5 through Memorial Day.
Hey, Miss Taylor, come on. Let me get those groceries for you.
Oh, hi, David. Yes, it'll be a big help there.
Okay, well, these are heavy.
Listen, how's the landlord business?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good.
Did you rent the apartment next door yet?
No, not yet, Miss Taylor, no. Oh, some guy came by today to look at it, but, you know, I didn't even show it to him.
Oh, why not?
Well, come on, he was a brother.
Well, why wouldn't you rent to your brother?
No, a brother, you know, colored, black guy.
Excuse me?
No, don't worry. No, I told him somebody else put down a deposit. It happens all the time. I figured you wouldn't want one of them living next door. You know what I mean.
No, David. I don't know what you mean.
The first step in fighting racial prejudice is taking a stand. Imagine the power of one voice. Find yours at freedomcenter.org. A message from the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center and the Ad Council.
There's a place. There's a place where the water is clean and refreshing, perfect for drinking. There's a place where the water is protected 24 hours a day by dedicated men and women, keeping it clean, safe, and plentiful. But you don't have to travel far to find this place, because this place is right at home. And this water is tap water. This message was brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider. For more information about your tap water, visit drinktap.org.
One voice can get the point across. Two voices are stronger. Now add more, and more, and we are stronger than ever. That's the power of a community coalition.
Back after this.
It's right to keep kids away from drugs. It's easy to get involved. Visit helpyourcommunity.org to find out how your group can help. That's helpyourcommunity.org, because you get more
when you get together.
Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
To the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Yes, indeed. Glad to have you back along with us here on the Guy James Show. We'll be with you right up until 10 p.m. tonight. A lot of people out and about this Memorial Weekend. My goodness, as I mentioned earlier, I was up in Ohio, Cleveland specifically. Thank God I wasn't there for long. There Monday and Tuesday, I was there, well, Monday through Thursday, but the temperature was 51 degrees. It was blowing, and it was raining, and it was miserable. Oh, my. It reminded me of why I moved to Florida. Still love the Buckeye State. Still love my Buckeyes, but they can keep that weather up there. I'll tell you that right now. It was, but a lot of people out and about this Memorial Day came back on the late plane, arrived back in Fort Myers, I think it was 12:44 Thursday night, and there wasn't an empty seat on that plane. So lots of people pouring in down here for taking a four-day weekend, actually cheating a little bit. Probably a lot of government employees here, right? Hey, I want to give you the phone numbers. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502. 7503 and 7504. That's our very own version here on the liberal show of public assistance right there. You've got toll-free numbers. You can call and We'll pay for it. 479-5540 here locally. And if you're down in Collier County, you don't need a toll-free line usually. 263-6570. All you folks down there, all you rich Democrats can call. And even if you're not so well-heeled, you can call too. And, of course, our Republican friends are welcome to call as well. I must tell you, and I know a lot of you have similar stories to share. I talked to somebody up north this week, had a long discussion with him. I was sitting in the lobby of the hotel, and as I'm wont to do, I don't like to sit there and shut up, so I started a conversation with the person sitting across from me reading the paper, and as you might expect, the conversation turned toward politics. And this man was a diehard Republican, is a diehard Republican, has been a Republican his entire life, along with his father and grandfather before him, and lives by Republican principles. He despises George Bush, despises him and what he stands for. He swore he would... I never heard... He went off on George Bush a lot more than I ever have, let me tell you, because he is ashamed of what George W. Bush is doing to the Republican Party. I didn't even have to, you know, egg him on a little bit. Once he got started on the subject, he said him and his entire family, he was talking about at Christmas time, after the election, being with his entire family, they're all Republicans, and he said every last one of them is ashamed of this guy being the President of the United States. So I think there is a war going on inside the Republican Party right now. I think it's good for them. I hope to God the Republicans rescue their party back from these radical neocons that have control of it right now, these crazy fundies that have control of it right now. Somebody needs to get a hold of those people and righten the ship in their party. They may be ahead in numbers right now, but my God, I think the smart ones are starting to understand that their party has been hijacked by a bunch of Looney Tunes, for sure. You know, I got to read that statement again. There have been, since 9/11, there have been no other attacks on our homeland. The credit must go to one man, President Bush. I got a question for the guy that wrote this. How many attacks on our homeland was there before George Bush was the president? As I recall, there was one. It wasn't anything to do with anything to the degree of the 9/11, of course. I don't think there was anybody killed. And I do know that everybody responsible for it, the known people who are responsible for it, are in prison, convicted of the crime and in prison. Okay? How many of the people responsible for the 9/11 bombing are convicted and in prison? Do you care to tell me? No other attacks. The credit must go to one man, President Bush. If those aren't the delusions of a, I don't know what is. Let's go to Eric up in Vermont. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Guy. How are you doing this evening?
Great. Good to hear from you. How's things in Vermont? Is it nice and warm there?
It wasn't bad today. I had to work for 6 hours during the warmest periods, but I appreciate the concern. I hear down in your area it's a lot warmer. And I love that warm. I love that warm.
Well, Eric, you come on down. We'll show you the town.
I have two things that I'd like to really talk about tonight, if it's okay.
Sure.
First of all, I have a brief statement about some people that I grew up with in the 60s that were killed in Vietnam, and I'd like to make some honor to them. And the second thing that I would like to talk about would be the extenuating circumstances in the deal that was made earlier this week within the Senate, if that's okay.
I've got a few things to say about that, too.
Well, then, first of all, I would care to mention two great Americans that I grew up with in my hometown of Poultney, Vermont. From Poultney, these men gave their lives. And their names are Phil Green and John Sweeney. And I hope their souls are resting in peace. And I'd like to thank them for their service on this Memorial Day weekend.
Hear, hear, Eric. Yes, sir.
Now, the next thing I would like to do is make a statement concerning the deal that the 14 moderates split Democratic and Republicans earlier this week. I would like to ask What are the extenuating circumstances which would be included in the deal of the 14 moderates in foregoing the challenge to the threatening nuclear option? What would be the legal definition of the extenuating circumstances in terms of the Senate rules? Doesn't this really mean that Democrats fell over in the avoidance to more precisely declare the specifics of what the deal really was? All I heard earlier this week was a lot of posturing by the Democrats, portraying the deal as a great and wondrous success for the integrity of the Senate and its traditions. Well, without definition of what the extenuating circumstances may be, without challenging the rubber stamp of the majority supporting any nomination of this administration for any post, whether it be a lifetime appointment within the judicial system, or whether it be a nominee such as Bolton for the ambassador of the UN, there will always be a threat of the nuclear option. This administration wants to go to the local fast food restaurant and have it their way, all their way, and totally disregard any attempt or display of compromise. There are and will not be any extenuating circumstances which will be sufficient to justify a legitimate filibuster. My gracious, the Department of State still has not honored the documents that were asked of them with Senator Lugar's approval during the original Bolton confirmation hearings. This administration has no integrity. It's their way or the highway. And I would like to say thank you very much for giving that time to make a comment, sir.
Well, Eric, you and I are on the same wavelength on this. I have to think that the extenuating circumstances could only be that one of those judges would be Satan or the incarnation of somebody like Hitler. That's how much wiggle room was left for the Democrats on that, practically nothing. I can't imagine. Well, we're going to talk a lot more about that. Eric, thanks so much for your call.
Well, I'll be listening to you later on when you did talk about it, sir.
Okay.
You have
thank
a good
you.
Night, sir.
Hey, I'll say it, and all my Democratic friends get mad with me. Go ahead. I'm going to say it anyway. Does someone want to tell me what the heck that so-called compromise was this past week concerning the filibuster rule? We've been calling our senators and House members by the hundreds of thousands. We had a real campaign going on, complaining about their caving in on important issues. And lo and behold, they do it again in even more spectacular fashion. Do you understand what this move was all about? If you do, I wish you'd call me and explain its advantages to the Democratic Party and to America. I'd like to know what they are. As I understand it, we promise not to try a filibuster if they promise not to do away with the filibuster rule. Do any of you see any advantage to that boneheaded move? The Democrats came out and claimed victory, and the Republicans walked away with the radical judges they wanted. Now, I'm getting damn tired of having the Republicans shove everything they want down our throats, and our people stand there and take it and claim they won a victory. This one has got me completely baffled. We've been told by the Democratic Party leaders that since we're in the minority, it's important for us to pick our fights. Okay. They picked this fight, and then they rolled over, and they played dead. Do you get it? I must have missed something somewhere, because as I see this, I see it as another resounding defeat for the Democrats. I've been a Democrat all of my life, and I don't think we've ever been represented by such a bunch of political weenies as we've got in there right now. They huff and puff and bluster all over the place, and then they lay down and die when push comes to shove. Folks, it's time for the Democratic Party to stop and take a look at where we're headed with this kind of leadership. What do we gain by rolling over all the time? What? I mean, stop and think about it. We had public opinion in our favor on this one. We did. We had public opinion. Nobody wanted to do away with the filibuster except for the fundies, and they still gave away the farm. We're going to have to live with a gang of the most radical judges in our history, and it's because the Democrats don't have the backbone it takes to get the job done. I'm really ashamed of our Democrats on this issue. Really ashamed of them. How do you feel about it? You know, think about it. Let's get this straight. We promised not to filibuster against judicial nominees unless there were extraordinary circumstances, and in return, the Republicans promised not to take the filibuster away from us. Do you see the lunacy in that? So they promised not to take away something we promised not to use. My God, a third grader would figure that one out, wouldn't they? Let's see now. We wanted to filibuster in order to keep radical judges from sitting on federal courts. The Bush administration ends up with the radical judges they wanted on the courts, and we ended up with what? And Harry Reid claims victory. To me, that's kind of like claiming we won the Vietnam War. You can say it all you want, but the fact is we lost, and we lost on this one too. Harry, who the hell do you think you're kidding? Oh, I don't know. If someone's got a better take on that than I do, I do hope you'll call me and let me know. I would love to know what you have to think about it. Let's go to Dahl in Naples. Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Is it Guy?
Yes, you're on.
Okay, I just wanted to say that I was so glad that prostitution is legal in Washington, because a lot of our representatives and senators would be in jail if it were illegal.
You had a pretty backhanded way of saying that. I like that.
Well, there are just certain words you can't use on radio.
Well, yeah.
I am terribly disappointed and upset with our party, and that was my comment that I think covers everything.
Well, thank you so much, and I heartily agree with what you said.
Okay, we appreciate you guys.
You know, that's like one of Muhammad Ali's opponents getting up off the canvas after being knocked out and walking to the middle of the ring and holding his hands up. And he says, I won. I know I got knocked out, but I won. I mean, do you have a different take on it? Do you? Some of you Democrats, help me out here, please, because I don't get it. I really don't get it. So these 14 senators got together and saved the filibuster. Saved it for what? We've been saying all along that a couple of these judges were Looney Tune radicals. We don't want them in there under any circumstances, and we roll out the red carpet for them and say, walk right in. What's wrong with the Democratic leadership? Oh, my, I've got a headache over this week. It's just too much. You know, I talked last week about how we've got to sort out our own party. We've got to get some Democrats in Washington who act like Democrats. They don't have to be obstructionist. They weren't obstructionist on this. Not at all. I'm not going to go into it on the show because we don't have time, but some of these judges, hell, even some of Bush's own people thought they were too radical. And there they are. They're in there now. The Democrats caved. There's no other way to say it. They caved. Harry Reid, you should be ashamed of yourself. And you, the rest of you that got up in front of everybody and said, oh, we saved it. We saved the filibuster. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, too. Who do you think you're fooling? Oh, it hurts my head. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. Please, some of you Democrats, call in and do, you know, explain this to me. In Desi Arnaz's language, you got to explain it to me. Some of you too old to know, or too young to know about Desi Arnaz saying that. Lucy, you got a lot of explaining to do. Hey, let's go to John in Naples. John wants to talk about the filibuster. Hi, John.
Yeah, Guy.
Yeah.
The only thing I want to say about that is, you know, there were seven judges, and we only let three of them get in.
So far,
but, you know, that's what the next thing is. I think what they're doing is, like, holding back because the Supreme Court is coming up pretty soon, and it'd be better to have a big showdown on that one.
Well, John,
rather than let them get by, you know, breaking all the Senate rules with Cheney overriding the fact you should have two-thirds to change the Senate rule and get into this, 51 votes mm-hmm. with 51 votes. I think they should wait for the Supreme Court, which is right around the corner.
Well,
I think that's what's going on. I don't like what's going on, but I think that's why they did it. Our leader had nothing to do with it. He wasn't one of the 14.
No, he wasn't.
The seven Democrats. They went beyond the leaders.
I think it's his job to get out there and herd the cattle, though, and I don't know that.
Well, they had a bypass press then, Reid.
Yeah.
Because they were just sitting there doing nothing.
Yep. Well,
down to a showdown.
I can only hope that
when he stops counting his money from Halliburton, is going to get up there and say it's okay to forget about the Senate rules from way back, where, changing Senate rules always took a two-thirds majority.
Yeah, up until now.
But, they think they have an angle to get away with it, and nobody's even talking about that.
Yeah, well,
I didn't like what they did, but, you let the free smokes get in there. They can't be any worse than what they get.
Well, let's make a friendly wager, John. I'm betting you out of the seven that at least six of them get in.
It wouldn't surprise me, but I'm just worried about the Supreme Court.
Yeah, well.
What I look for, really, I think Bush is probably going to try to make Thomas Chief Justice. And that will be,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what I worry about.
Well, John, thanks for your opinion. I'm glad to hear from you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's something to think about. Are they going to make their last Alamo stand with the Supreme Court nominees if he gets one or two of them? What do you think? Do you think that'll be... I'm just a little tired. I'm a little tired of every battle that's come up so far. Just saying, we'll wait and we'll pick the next fight and we'll pick the next fight and we'll pick the next fight. These federal judges are awfully important. Awfully important. And I worry. Even some of my Republican friends, does it not scare you that a man like George W. Bush will have the opportunity to pick a couple of Supreme Court judges? It scares me. I would rather leave that decision in the hands of Elmer Fudd any old day than I would George W. Bush. Let's go to Alice in Northern California. Hi, Alice.
Leo?
Yes.
Made some very good points. I do believe that they rigged the primaries. They selected John Kerry as our candidate. Still, if you take away their voting machines, John Kerry won by a landslide.
Well, this voting machine controversy is going to be with us for a long, long time. A long, long time. I see Alice up in Montana. They just voted to not have those voting machines anymore. Don't you? I bet you voted a time or two with just putting your X on the ballot, right?
Yep.
Did you see anything wrong with that way to do it?
Well, that voting, that was horrible. That's got to be changed.
It does. We cannot leave that in the hands of somebody, some computer programmer somewhere, and I think that's where we're at with it so far. Alice, it's nice of you to call.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. Well, we get calls from all over the place. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Yes, sir. I hate to belabor the point, but the credit must go to one man, George W. Bush, why there's been no other attacks on our homeland. I wish the gentleman that wrote that would call into this program. I wish he'd have the courage to call in and explain that one to us. I really would like to hear that. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. We're talking about, of course, Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day coming up on Monday. We now have had 1,656 soldiers killed. Since mission accomplished was stated, the braggadocio of Mr. Bush and his little Ken doll flight suit, been 1,519 die since then. Since we've captured Saddam, that had a lot to do with it, didn't it? There's been 1,189 more die since then. Since the handover, there's been, of the government, there's been 790 more killed. You know, all the handover and all that, that was going to end it all. And since the election, there's been 224 more killed. And American wounded, 12,350. You know, other coalition troops, you know, you got to think about this huge coalition. There's been 180 others killed. U.S. military get deaths in Afghanistan, 183. You know, there's been 12,000 soldiers treated for illness and combat injuries since March 2nd of 2002. Many of them are coming home, oh, in desperate shape mentally. Some of the things they see over there. See your friends blown to bits. See your friends killed. And for what? For what? Got a nice email last week from a gentleman who just returned from Iraq. You know, we hear the Republicans get on these shows all the time and say, hey, we're doing so much good over there. Oh, the press is doing a bad job. It's much, 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 much better than the press is showing. Well, this soldier told me it's a whole lot worse than you see on TV. The other press around the world has it straight, but the American press does not. And, of course, the American press is being censored. Censored, you say? Well, how about this big deal we had going out and gone near the Syrian border here a week or so ago, this big effort we had going on out there? Were there any news people out there? No. Holly North was there for Fox, but anybody from mainstream media, from believable media? No. They're censoring it, folks. Plain and simple. You are listening to the Guy James Show, and we're going to be right back with more of the show sponsored by the Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics right after the news, so you stay tuned.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Your weekend station, Link WNOG. Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
Fox News Radio, I'm Uma Pemaraju. Honoring those who've served. During his weekly Saturday radio address, President Bush acknowledging the nation's veterans ahead of Memorial Day.
Today, a new generation of Americans is making its own sacrifice on behalf of peace and freedom. And some have given their lives.
Retired Army General Wesley Clark speaking during the Democratic response about the financial needs of vets and their family members.
That means our men and women in uniform should be paid fairly, and they and their families should be taken care of while they're fighting overseas or serving at home.
Clark is also a former Democratic presidential candidate. Both sides rest. At Michael Jackson's child molestation trial, the accuser gets the last word at the singer sex trial.
The judge in the Michael Jackson trial told jurors they've heard all the evidence in the case, and now it's all over but the closing argument.
Fox's Claudia Cowan. Fox News. We report. You decide.
You, Sutherland Nissan, boiling mad at high truck prices. F-150 Silverado, $25,000 to $30,000, and that can make you mad. Your all-new Titanic, powerful V8 Titan King Cab XE at Sutherland, just $18,488. That'll make you glad.
Wait a minute. New V8 Titan King Cab XE, $18,488? Gotta be stripped.
No, it's equipped. Your big, bad, bodacious V8 4-door Titan King Cab. Stereo, CD, automatic, and air. Good truck stuff everywhere. Venice, I'm talking to you. That's more than fair. Smack dab in the middle of Fort Myers on US 41, south of Bell Tower Shops on Tamiami Trail.
All new Titan V8 King Cab, just $18,488. You can't be serious.
I'm dead serious. If you want a new truck, you're in luck. One of Florida's volume discount Nissan dealers, Sutherland. They turn mad to glad when $18,488 is all you pay today to drive your new Titan truck away. Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay.
Bins 520-497 and 519-889. Price after factory rebates and dealer discounts plus government taxes, finance, stock prep, and emission fees.
New Chevrolet.
Chevrolets with savings up to $9,700. New Chevy Equinox SUV, $279 a month. Impalas, just $16,990. Chevy Tahoes, equipped, not stripped, just $26,990. Unbelievable? No, unbeatable. Row after row of new Chevrolet cars and trucks at guaranteed unbeatable prices. Chevy Impalas, an unbeatable $16,990. Chevy Tahoes, loaded with options, an unbeatable $26,990. At Bob Taylor Chevrolet in Naples. Plus, Equinox SUVs, just $279 a month. $279. Unbelievable? No, unbeatable. At Bob Taylor Chevrolet, with zero down available on every new Chevrolet. Impalas, $16,990. Tahoes, $26,990. And Equinox SUVs, just $279 a month. Unbelievable? No, unbeatable. Because if you find a lower advertised price, we'll beat it or pay you $1,000. It's an American Revolution at Bob Taylor Chevrolet on Airport Road in Naples. See the Naples Daily News for details.
Needing that inspiration and intelligence to finish a project or succeed on a tough exam? What if the solution, the insight, was right there and the source of intelligence available to everyone? Hear more about how to tap into this intelligence and inspiration on the next radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel.
Sponsored by First Church of Christ Scientists Naples. Listen in on Sunday mornings at 8 on Wink WNOG for the Christian Science Sentinel radio show.
This is a quiet message about noise and the possibility there's too much of it in your life. Audiology.
We're back next.
Like lawnmowers, music with headphones, even the commotion of a crowded restaurant can hit 85 decibels. That's loud enough over time to cause permanent hearing loss. So keep an eye on your ears. For more on hearing health and the 85 danger zone, visit asha.org. A public service message from the American Speech Language Hearing Association.
Hey, guy, the button wouldn't fire. I'm going to try and hit the Bill Smith again after the open, okay? Is that okay? That's cool?
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
The First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States allows that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
There's no government document more important than this, because without free speech and a free press, all of our other freedoms would not survive. The right of free speech and peaceful dissent ensures that all American voices may be heard, no matter what the circumstance. We've watched other countries lose their right to free speech and turn into totalitarian nations where truth was whatever the ruling class deemed it to be. We cannot allow this to happen in America. We cannot afford to give up nor compromise these sacred rights. It is in this spirit that Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics is proud to sponsor The Guy James Show.
We're back with more of the Guy James Show. Glad to have you along with us this evening. Give us a call on our nickel, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. If you're listening locally, 479-5540 in Lee County and in Collier County, 263-6570. I want to clear something up before I get going on anything else here. We always have a thread going on democraticunderground.com during the show. And one of our regular listeners has posted something on there because I started the thread tonight a little differently than I normally do. I usually type up, be sure and listen to the show tonight, give the time and the phone numbers and all that, and all the many, many people on Democratic Underground get to see it and join the program, and they can post on there during the show. Well, this week I put out something or other about listen to genuine liberal radio show by a genuine liberal, which is what I am. And one of our regular listeners has come up and asked a question, genuine liberal radio as opposed to who and what? Liberal radio hosted by a real liberal as opposed to who? Well, I won't get into the who on the air right now. I'll gladly send a private message to this gentleman because I don't want to attack anybody else on the air necessarily. But I said that because I know people in the business, and I know somebody in the business portends to be a liberal because of the almighty buck. I know it, and everybody else in liberal radio knows it, because we know this person, and we know the whole story that went down. So I will explain that to you, Wild Wolf, and my apologies. I hope you don't take offense to what I'm saying, but I will explain it to you, and I will prove it to you. As many of you know that listened for a long time, I wouldn't say anything that I don't think is true. And one other thing I want to mention, too, about what we were talking about before the show is, what did I see, the way I see it, as a sellout by our Democrats on this filibuster thing. I want you to think about it this way. First of all, Bill Frist, who's going to run for president, he had a lot of political capital involved in this on the Republican side of things. And he might have just fallen on his face with the electorate if he had, by mainstream Republicans and possible crossover Democrats, if he'd pushed this filibuster through against the wishes of the electorate. I'm pretty sure that. And even if he tried this nuclear option and didn't have the votes, he was going to fall on his face there. Point number two is this whole thing started because we wanted to keep these extreme right-wing judges like William Pryor and Janice Rogers Brown, Priscilla Owen, off the court. Well, now we know they will be confirmed. There's no doubt about it. Henry Sod and William Myers probably will be confirmed too. The worst problem of the whole thing, let's say Bush does make his Supreme Court nomination and is somebody the Democrats won't want. The Republicans still have the ability to go ahead and do the nuclear option. There's nothing the Democrats could do to stop it. And would you take the word of the Republican leadership on this little deal that was cut the other day, that okay, let's say that they do want to support, somebody in the Supreme Court, and the Democrats say no, 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 and there's a big fight over it. Do you think for a minute we could trust the word of the Republican leaders right now to hold to the bargain of not to do away with the filibuster? They will vote that filibuster out in a heartbeat when it comes down to it. They absolutely will. So when you look at it that way, where was the compromise? What did we really gain by it? I don't know. Let's go up and talk to Juanita in Winter Haven, Florida.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Juanita.
could I say a little something about Memorial Day?
You just most certainly can.
On the side, I had two uncles. So one was in the Pacific and one was in Germany. And during the war, and neither one was the same after that. One of them died at 40. And anyway, I just want to give a tribute to them and the one uncle that was in the in Okinawa and all. He also was in the Korean War. And then I had a lot of older cousins that were in both wars. One of them was, he was a 17-year-old Marine, fought over in Okinawa. And I just want to pay tribute to them and all of our veterans. Want to thank them. I met some wonderful veterans, and just God bless them.
Absolutely.
One I wanted to call about, and I think it's along the lines of what you're talking about, I have a new dirty word: bipartisanship. I hate that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'll tell you why. Our party has been bipartisanship. We practiced that. ever since you know who got in. Just, I mean, you think of a lot of the things that we had the Senate for a while, and yet a lot of things were voted in just because he wanted them voted in. And we did that, you know, I'm talking about Democrats, for the first 4 years. And it's just sickening. And he would, every time he got a chance, he would say, well, I hope they cooperate. I hope they act bipartisanship, you know. And they were doing everything but laying on the floor and licking his boots, as somebody said. I think it was Mike Malloy. But anyway, we can have disagree. We can get along sometime, but we have to stand up for our ideals, in my opinion. And our ideals are great. All these things that we have now, the 40-hour week and minimum wage and all like that, some of these people don't realize what will happen if all that's gone.
That's right.
It's going to be back like it was in, you know, Carnegie's day or something. Or worse, somebody said the Dark Ages.
Sure, the Dark Ages with the serfs and the royalty.
There you go.
Yeah.
And his first 6 months, you know, another thing was, I saw Charlie Rose interviewing somebody, and I can't remember who, but they were talking about Bush and how a lot of people didn't like him. Well, he said, Charlie Rose, I thought, they just wonder why they don't like him. Well, you jerk.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, one of the reasons is that he wants to kill the minimum wage, and he wants to take away the benefits from elderly and children. You know, I mean, you could just go on and on and on.
Certainly.
And one thing that he did, and I didn't know what it meant really, because I wasn't that aware before 9/11. I had started really looking stuff up on the internet, and I go to Buzzsplash every day because you can go to, they give you all these articles that you can go to and make up your own mind.
Oh, we need it. We're on the same page.
And anyway, they were talking about how the Bush administration had given Taliban $38 million in May of 2001.
That's right.
And I thought, well, who is that? You know, I didn't know. And so that they will allow the pipelines to go through for Enron. So, and another thing about these judges, the lady from California, the black lady,
mm-hmm.
And I think I mentioned Black Commentator one time before that they are totally against her, and they are totally against Condoleezza. And they give their reasons.
The black community you're talking about, yes, most certainly.
Yeah, this is the Black Commentator magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I think I just about got it, I think. But I think that the reporters, or so-called reporters, news people, I think they've got a higher responsibility for what's gone wrong in this country than anybody.
Absolutely right.
Because they don't let it out. You know, they don't let what's going on out. If they do, it's like a soundbite or something, you know. But I just want the Democrats to stand up for us.
I do, too. I do, too. Winita, thanks for your call.
Okay.
Nice to hear from you.
You, too. Bye-bye.
Ah, yes. Hey, I do want to take a moment, be very brief here. Thanks some recent contributors to the show. Richard Lent from Lehigh, Florida, and Elaine and Virginia Miller from Newton, Iowa. Bill Beaumont from Fort Myers, Florida. Ed and Cheryl Hayes from Buffalo, New York. Wendy Montgomery from Memphis, Tennessee. Mark Ball from Portland, Oregon. Ed and Maureen Wilkinson from Portland, Oregon. Got a big gang out there in Portland. And Ed Marine, we got Chris Kern in Hudson, Florida, John Roberts in Tarzana, California, Carolyn Patton Dushku in Linwood, Massachusetts. Got a very nice letter from them this week, and I do appreciate that letter so very much, Carolyn. And Mark Mahevic in Reno, Nevada. Thank you. Thank you for your donations to the program. We do appreciate it. And that Well, I might as well just do this right now. We're going to talk to you a little later about it, but I'll let you in on this right now. I really dread what I'm about to say, but it's got to be done. So I'll just do it. Everybody that knows me knows I hate this, but the Guy James Show right now is facing a very difficult situation. As I've explained to you many times over the 2.5 years we've been on the air, we have bills to pay, and just like PBS, we depend upon donations from our listeners to keep the ship afloat. And yes, we've acquired a sponsor, and we're extremely grateful to the folks at Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics for their support, but we need more help. We need help and support from you, our listeners, because we're facing a financial crisis at the moment, and we're appealing to you to help keep the show on the air. We have to buy our airtime here in the bastion of conservatism and republicanism right here in Fort Myers in Southwest Florida. We have to pay for the streaming, which, by the way, is a major expense. Got a toll-free phone line, internet service, and a few other expenses. And I want to remind you once again that I do not take one dime from this program. So the bills are more than the income, and something's got to give. And the decision is to be made whether or not to keep the program on the air. We think liberal radio is important. We think liberal radio in Florida is really important. And the numbers here don't lie. I don't know how many of you have noticed, but the voting in the last election proves that we've had an effect on the election. Although we're in a bastion of republicanism here in Southwest Florida, the Democratic voter numbers were way up. So I'm asking you, I'm appealing to you to help keep the show on the air by sending in a small donation. If even 10% of our listeners contributed regularly to the program, a small amount, we wouldn't have this problem, but that's the way it is. The few who do contribute are the ones who pay the bills, so the rest can enjoy the program too, and we understand that. And we appreciate the many kind cards and letters and emails that we receive from those of you who support what we do here on the Guy James Show, but we need some financial support from a few more of you. And it really is up to you now. You can let the program go off the air, or you can help us continue and grow bigger and better than ever. And like as I said earlier, we have an opportunity to do that. Please consider sending a small donation, or better yet, pledge to donate monthly. We don't need a lot from anyone. We just need a little from a lot of you. We got less than a month before our present contract is up here at the radio station. That's only 4 more shows after today. And time is very critical, so please help out if you can. We would love to hear from you. We hope we do. You can donate at www.theguyjamesshow.com, and I'm looking for our regular mail address here. I'll get that to you in just a moment here. Where is it? Got papers everywhere, but no place do I have that address. Well, I'll get it for you in just a moment or two. So, but heed what I said. It is important to keep the show on the air. Let's go to Juan in Fort Myers. Hello, Juan.
Hi, Guy. Guy, I wonder if you've heard the right-wing extremist on the news. They got quite a bit of coverage this weekend regarding the vote in the Senate that you were talking about. They threatened John McCain. They said that he's going to pay for it, for doing what he did, postponing the vote in the Senate.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They'll threaten it. I mean, you know, Juan, look at one of the most respected, most conservative Republicans they have, George Voinovich from Ohio. They're threatening him because he spoke out against this flake Bolton.
The people in this country were criticizing the Muslims because they didn't criticize or they didn't say anything against their extremists for bombing our country. Why aren't the people, the religious people in this country, taking these people into reign and kind of control them? I mean, we're not doing it either. And people here need to make sure that they stand up and say, these extremists don't represent us. These are the ones, these are the people that lead to the people that kill those doctors that do abortion, like Rudolph, and they're very extremist. And they're very dangerous. You know, another thing that he said that the weapons of mass destruction were in Africa.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Where in Africa? Well, he didn't bother to tell us. Why don't he tell us the place? I mean, these people are telling our officials, elected officials, what to do, what to say, and how to say it. And that is dangerous. And now that they are beginning to get money from the government to help the poor, so to speak, you know, they're going to have more money to really put into the coffers. So whatever is the most extremist official that they get, you know, I think, you know, as far as this thing that happened with McCain, the McCain 14, for lack of another term, I think that they must have some, you know, those people are really going to hold the filibuster. It's not going to be after Fredson at all. I think these people probably, I would assume, I hope that the Democrats have in their back pocket an ace card, to, you know, or something that they can, an agreement they have made that they are going to determine, or they're going to have a tremendous influence as to who's going to be elected to the Supreme Court, like the other fellow said. If they don't have that, you know, I mean, we need to get somebody like Galloway from England to import him in here to really stand up to this guy, because we don't have people here that, you know, that are doing it.
Yeah, he showed more guts than all of our Democratic leaders put together.
I'd vote for that guy in a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're really lacking that. One more thing about this Christian extremist. You know, I mentioned this once on the show, is that they keep saying the embryonic stem cell. There's no such an animal. The cells there are, stem cells are pre-embryonic. You know, the fertilization occurs up close in the fallopian tube, and then that makes a little ball of cells, and it's called a blastocyst. And there was one senator that mentioned that during this week, and I can't think of his name right now. But he called what it is, a blastocyst. And it's just loose in the womb there, and it has not been attached. Because once it becomes attached or implanted, then that's conception. But this cell that is loose in there is a type of cell, or the cells like that, the ones that are used to get the stem cells from. Once it's attached, you know, so the little cell, ball cell, comes on down in about 6 weeks after fertilization, it becomes implanted. But the stem cells are taken out on day five or day six, so it's before conception. So if life, if these Christians are telling us that life begins at conception, then they have no qualms with us, because this or the scientists, because this stem cell research is done before conception. You know, then at a week or so after fertilization, the egg becomes implanted, and then in another week is when they start coloring an embryo. The embryo is from the second week after fertilization to the end of the second month. So they are lying, and they are lying. And even President Bush, when he says, you don't want to kill a life to save a life, they're not doing that. You know, he's lying. And I, you know, I challenge any of them to, you know, to prove different, because all the books tell you that.
Well, there again, they use the media. Well, you're killing babies, and you know, you're killing life, and all that. When they know, most people aren't going to take the time to find out what you know about it.
Yes, and so long as they control the media like they're doing now, and keep the truth, you know, that's the first step of you know, of a government, a totalitarian government, and keep, you know, keep it. You know, that's the only reason that some people in the service, the poor soldiers that are dying out there, even say that, you know, they're for the war. They even, it's because they only listen to Rush Limbaugh's propaganda. They don't even allow a democratic point of view on there at all. You know, that should be illegal. I mean,
that's right. This,
you know, it is incredible that they control the media. No wonder, you know, some of the other countries here in Latin America called Bush a Führer, the little Führer. You know, they refer to him as, you know, as another Hitler coming up, because, you know, he is getting his way, controlling the media, and not really, you know, we don't, and Memorial Day, did you see a coffin at all? A picture of a dead soldier? I didn't watch the news. I didn't see anything.
No, that's the way it's going to stay, too. That's the way it's going to stay. Keep it out of sight, out of mind. People in the country aren't, the masses aren't suffering one bit. They gave a tax cut out during the war. You know, back during the Second World War, everybody knew somebody who was involved in the war. It's not that way with only 150,000 people over there. So it's out of sight, out of mind to most people, and he can get away with anything he wants to.
Yep. Let me mention one more thing. You know, I just heard in the radio and the 9:40 a.m., which is, I guess, Radio America here, I would get from Miami, very barely get it, but it's worth listening to. They say that the Saudis will spend millions of dollars in paying the Republicans, but they say the Trump delay and the Bush administration in They call it lobbying, but that's bribery. And so that they wouldn't, to protect them against the 40 million Americans that are trying to sue the Saudi government for putting a preservative in the gasoline that is leading to cancer and deformity in people in this country. There's a class action suit, and this administration just voted to with the Saudis against
them. Well, and they sicked their own lawyer against the people, the 9/11 victims who were suing class action the Saudis. James Baker, one of Bush's soldiers, is working on that one. So, yeah, they'll do anything they can to protect the Saudis. They've proven that over and over again. Juan, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. Hey, I got that address. I don't know why I don't have that imprinted upon my mind, but here it is, and thanks, Ron, for getting it for me. For those of you who want to send a donation via snail mail, it's the Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135. That's the Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135. Or you can go to the handy-dandy Guy James website, GuyJamesShow.com, and donate right on there. It'll tell you just how to do it through PayPal and all. I think our address is on there as well. So I do want to thank you for if you do that. You know, last week we talked about Glenn Beck, you know, this crazy right-wing radio host who's getting around America quite a little bit, and how he was, talking about how he'd like to kill Michael Moore and how he would kill Michael Moore and all that. I don't think I ever heard anything get squelched like that before. Anybody else would have done that. I guarantee you if a Howard Stern or somebody would have made a comment like that, they'd have got fined and censored and all that sort of thing. But nothing happened to Glenn Beck. And somebody told me they called one of Beck's sponsors, which happened to be Carrabba's Italian Restaurant, and said that, well, they didn't appreciate hearing, you know, the sponsor of they go to that restaurant all the time, Carrabba's Restaurant, them and their friends, they go once a week, and said they didn't like the fact that they tune in here, Glenn Beck, talk about killing somebody, and then hearing a sponsor for, you know, sponsored by Carrabba's. So here's what Carrabba's wrote back. And I quote, Glenn Beck has been very supportive of Carrabba's, and we support him, even though we don't agree with him sometimes. You know, so I guess when a guy gets on the air and talks about killing Michael Moore, that's just not agreeing with him sometimes. You know, if I took to the airwaves and talked about killing someone, I'd expect the folks from the FCC to be at my door the next day. And I'd expect to lose any rational listeners I had. But with this gang in Washington right now, the FCC isn't going to say anything to anyone on the right, no matter what they say. I mean, I think with this comment here, they've proven that. So don't get your hopes up. What else was it? We heard a while back about Limbaugh talking about sexual matters on the air that never should have been talked about on the air. Did anything? I happen to know that thousands of people called in on that to the FCC. Nothing happened. Because they own it. Lock, stock, and barrel. And, oh, one little thing I did want to mention. Our good friend Dick Morris. Dick Morris, who was oh so Democratic until he got himself in trouble. You know Dick Morris, the foot freak. The one that predicted Hillary Clinton to go down over this... what was the guy's name? Former National Finance Director for Hillary Rodham Clinton and her Senate campaign, David Rosen. He was charged with a couple of counts of making false statements to the Federal Election Commission about the cost of this big star-studded gala they had for Hillary Clinton. Had celebrities like Cher and Melissa Etheridge and Toni Braxton, Diana Ross, Brad Pitt, and Jennifer Aniston. A jury of 7 men and 5 women deliberated about 6 hours before reaching its verdict, and he was found not guilty. So, Dick, your prediction once again, Dick Morris, you who get up and strut like a peacock on Fox News, why is it they get all the cast-offs who have been degraded and humiliated themselves and ex-criminals and all that on there? So Dick Morris, a little guy full of venom, a little sexual deviant freak too, just like Bill O'Reilly. They both end up on Fox Network. I guess they get them all. So he made this big prediction that Hillary was going to go down over this, and that when Rosen got convicted, he was going to sing like a canary. Well, sorry, Dick. Very, very sorry. Hey, we're going to pause for a break right now. It's down at the bottom of the hour, a little past it, actually. We'll be right back with more of the Guy James Show, sponsored by Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics.
The Guy James Show.
Weekend station. Link WNOG.
Whatever you need, whatever you want, is on sale now at Bill Smith at the guaranteed lowest price in Southwest Florida. Frost-free refrigerators, freezers, washers, dishwashers, smooth-top ranges, 32-inch TVs, DVDs, LCD TVs, high-definition widescreens, complete home theater systems, plus free delivery or 18 months interest-free. Bill Smith, Southwest Florida's largest selection of appliances and home electronics at the guaranteed lowest price.
4 days, $5 for a car at one location. Germain Toyota's Big Lot on US 41 in Naples. Hundreds of used cars are on sale. $14,000 cars, now $9,000, $8,000 cars. Under $5,000, $4,000 cars, $2,000. Some cars will be sold for $5 each only at Germain Toyota's Big Lot. Yes, yes. Starting at 10 a.m. sharp each day, cars will be sold for only $5 each Friday. $5 for a car. Saturday, get a car for $5. Sunday, $5 for a car. Monday, $5 is all you need for a car. Destination, Germain Toyota's Big Lot. Get here early. Get behind the wheel and reserve your $5 car. Germain Toyota's Big Lot, US 41 at Wiggins Pass, Naples. Call your county's biggest used car retailer. Is selling cars for only $5 through Memorial Day.
Think about life back in the mid-1800s. There were no computers, no cell phones, no movies, no radios, no way to even record music. But things were about to change. This year we celebrate 125 years of electric innovation. One man who made much of that innovation possible was Thomas Edison. Even though he was partially deaf, Edison discovered how to record and play back sound using tin foil and a wax cylinder, creating the first phonograph, his favorite invention. Known as the Wizard of Menlo Park, in 1913 he invented talking pictures along with the technology to view them. Over the years, the kinetograph camera and the projecting kinetoscope gave way to video cassettes, DVDs, and CD-ROMs many now take for granted. Edison, who helped design the earliest telephones, would have marveled at cameras on cell phones, even cell phones themselves. Think how times have changed. Thank you, Mr. Edison. To learn more, visit EEI.org, the Edison Electric Institute, celebrating our past, lighting our present, and powering our future.
More and more teenagers are discovering the joy and contentment of waiting. A recent analysis by the Heritage Foundation of Government Research that followed thousands of teenagers over several years found that teens who signed a pledge of abstinence, a virginity pledge, are far less likely to engage in risky behaviors than teens who did not sign a pledge. For example, only 30% of teens who consistently reported they had taken a virginity pledge became sexually active before age 18, compared to 63% of teens who did not. Girls who sign a virginity pledge are less likely to become pregnant as teens and to ever become pregnant out of wedlock. Arguments may rage over whether to promote abstinence among youth, but the research shows virginity pledges and abstinence education help young people make healthy choices. Research also shows that parents can have a strong influence on whether their children become sexually active at a young age. Talk to your kids about your values and what you expect of them.
Hi, I'm Clay Walker, and as a country music performer, I know that life in show business can be unpredictable. But for more than one-third of a million Americans, like myself, so can life with multiple sclerosis. The National Multiple Sclerosis Society is leading the way in research funding, services for people with MS, and professional education. To learn more about how you can help, call 1-800-FIGHT-MS or visit the society on the web at nationalmssociety.org.
America's Second Harvest Network distributes 1.4 billion pounds of donated food each year, feeding 23 million Americans. But if donations stopped today, their warehouses could be empty in a matter of weeks. I'm Wilma McNabb, asking you to join me and Campbell's Chunky Soup in the fight against hunger. Learn how you can help keep America's food banks open and shelves stocked by visiting tacklinghunger.com.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG.
that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Hey, do call us, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504, all toll-free numbers. In Lee County, Florida, 479-5540, and in Collier County, 263-6570. Be happy to have you join us tonight, whether you be one of our Liberal Democrat friends or one of those people from the other side. We'd be glad to hear from you. You know, I'm always talking about being here in the heart of darkness. And what it's like to live in hardcore, and I mean hardcore, Republican territory. A friend of mine just gave me the Naples Daily News. I think this is the Thursday issue of the Naples Daily News. And there's a letter to the editor in there, and I'm proud to tell you, they talked about the Guy James Show. Yeah. As to the editor, Naples Daily News, and I quote, "Many people are concerned that the loony liberal left is imploding. I hope not, because we need a few of them around just for laughs. Turning on the radio Saturday night, I heard The Guy James Show. This is one of the most liberal, negative talk shows I have ever heard. Just one nutcake after another. So life is good. They're still around. Jerry Tate from Naples, Florida." Well, Jerry, thank you for putting that in there. They spelled our name right, and that's a good thing. You know, I always say that. Did they say anything about us? And if they did, we hope you spelled the name right. I guess Jerry Tate never heard Glenn Beck talking about killing Michael Moore. I guess he never heard some of the filth that Michael Savage spews. I guess he's never heard Neil Bortz and Rush Limbaugh spew some of the most hateful commentary you're ever going to hear in your lives. And then there's another letter in it right after that. This is another one. Editor, Naples Daily News. In response to letter writer John M. Ansbacher, Naples Daily News, May 20th. "In regard to the U.S. military recruitment numbers falling off, I would suggest today's kids are smarter than we were in the mid and late 1960s. They know when they see military action that not only was ill-advised, but in the process has had the effect of making America less secure. The Iraq War has been a massive recruitment effort for Al-Qaeda, and today's young people are more than aware of it." I love this paragraph right here. "Besides, all the low recruitment woes could easily be remedied if the 53% of those citizens who voted for George W. Bush would simply send their children and grandchildren to the recruiters. Problem solved." Michael Watkins of Naples. Michael, as always, Michael always writes some great things to the program. Yes, indeed. In fact, let's go talk to Jason in Cape Coral. Hello, Jason. Jason, are you there?
Good, sir. How are you?
Yes, good.
Sir, I wanted to get your take on this. It's kind of a comment and a question. I am a registered independent, which wasn't really easy to do considering that you have to ask for it. It's not even there. But I really do not like George Bush at all. Never liked him. He was a lame duck before September 11th. After that, I thought he was okay until this whole sham with Iraq and Al-Qaeda. Whole thing is just one big lie. Can't find Osama bin Laden. That's a joke. But I listen. I'm from Cape Coral, and I listen to all these people you're talking about. This one-sided, completely biased Neil Bortz. Savage is kind of funny at times, but everyone, and it's just one big campaign to the right, and it just drives me insane. But George Bush, even, and they're all crying about this border situation. Every Republican is crying, and George Bush hasn't done anything. I think it's hilarious because instead of them saying, oh, well, he's a lame duck, they're saying they're disappointed in him. I don't see what anyone liked about him, ever. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Can you tell me why anyone would like this man?
Stubbornness. I think actual stubbornness. I think a lot of people were going to vote for him no matter what. They would have voted for anybody who wore the R on their shirt because they're opposed to the other side. I think they would have voted with him against him. You know, voted for him no matter what. I think they could put Elmer Fudd up and the rank and file would vote for Elmer. So that's the only thing I can, because, you know, Jason, you know as well as I do, there are a lot of people in this country that are very smart, and I know some smart people who voted for George Bush, and I've seen them shake their heads and say, oh, geez, I held my nose and I voted for George Bush. Well, that's not the way to vote. And I swear to God, if we had a candidate like that on the Democratic side, I would not hold my nose and vote for him. I would not. So that's the only thing I can say. It's just a matter of being blind stubborn, and sometimes that happens, and I hope America will shape up when it comes to that again. Hey, thanks for your call, Jason.
You're welcome.
Very, very good to hear from you. Let's go to Chris in Naples, Florida. Hi, Chris.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
You know that we are on the opposite side.
Yes.
But I do hope that people support your show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm the your best fundraiser. If you want to irritate me, keep the Guy James show on the air. I think people should all send their money to irritate me.
Well, there you go.
And I do like hearing your show once in a while, Guy.
Well, I can't think of a better reason to people send lots of money than to irritate you.
Yeah, I think you should stay. I can't believe there's not one big money Democrat down there. Like George McGovern lives on Marco Island. He could easily support your show.
You know what happens to the big money, Chris? I'll tell you. You know, a lot of people, a lot of Democratic politician people, a lot of people, party people, will hate me saying this. They will. But, you know, I'll tell you the truth. Well, here's what happens with the big money. The big money is never spread around locally. Never. You know, there's a lot of local needs here. The local parties in Lee and Collier County are always scraping for money. What happens is the fat cats come in, like a John Kerry comes in, or, you know, Howard Dean, and some of the big names come to town. And that's where all the rich people come out of the woodwork. And they go meet and rub elbows with those people and hand them the big checks. The big checks never go to anybody local. Never.
Okay, I would like to say one more thing.
And yeah, sure.
Just to help you in your fundraising, and don't take this as a personal side, that I love George Bush, and he's probably the greatest president since Ronald Reagan. If that doesn't raise money for you, nothing else will.
Thank you, Chris. That's a good one. That's the best call I ever got from him. He knows, yes, we are on opposite sides to the extreme. And I like that call. Thank you, Chris. That was, I think that mended a little bit of the fence between him and I right there. You got to love it. Let's go to Tony in Lehigh. Tony, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
From what you just said to that other caller, before I get into it, I was going to talk about, actually, it's both parties do the same thing. It's not just the Democrats when they put on their fundraisers. They always give it to the national, quote, national party, not the individual counties, states type of thing.
And you're right. And,
you put it, and I'm conservative, by the way. Mm-hmm. So, but when you kept saying Democrats, I think you made a mistake.
Well, no, I didn't make a mistake. I'm just quoting what I know the best. I know for a fact.
Yeah, but you know for a fact, too, the Republicans do the exact same thing.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, and even though I'm conservative, I believe it should be fair. You know, you should have said, hey, and also the Republicans, and I assume even the Libertarians do the same thing.
Well, I was saying, I wasn't saying anything bad there. I was saying negative against the Democrats. I know the Republicans do that as well, but I think they all forget the fact that, like old Tip O'Neill said, all politics is local, and I don't see why the locals, I think the locals here, are the grassroots are the farm system, and we need to, as Democrats, work on getting some locals elected, and yet they're always starved for money.
But the problem with that is, if look at how much it costs, and it doesn't, again, whatever party you're talking, how much it costs now for a senator to get elected.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the money is mind-boggling. And, you know, forget how much money they donated to their campaign. Think of the 527s on both sides. How many millions go into that?
Oh, yeah, and also remember that, you know as well as I do, if you're on the opposite, it doesn't make a difference what side of the fence you're on, you can buy an election, and you can especially buy a local election. And here we have this carpetbagger, Connie Mack, come in, and he bought the election here. I mean, there's no question about it.
He bought it in New York.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, so it doesn't matter. You know, and that's both sides of the coin.
Yeah, and that's why people need to give some money locally, because if somebody, some wealthy Democrat around here it wanted to outdo Connie Mack, why, we could have, but nobody wanted to because they give the money to the National Party. That's
right.
Just how it works.
That was my point. But anyhow, the main reason I was calling was that gentleman you had on earlier talking about that the military wasn't making their goals on recruits.
Right, they're really way off.
Okay, well, I happened to work for the federal government, and I was at a place called the Boston Army Base, and I kind of looked at it because, you know, we go to lunch there at the cafeteria, and the recruits were coming in, you know, being processed.
Mm-hmm.
And what I noticed was when the economy was in a recession, you got these clean-cut students coming, you know, just graduating, can't find a job, and they go in the military. And as the economy started up, it started, you know, getting some of the lower education coming in, you know, the way they looked and everything else. And then whenever the economy got good, you wound up without those clean cut. And I think that possibly the economy, at least in this area here and a bunch of others, is well enough that these kids don't look at it as an option because they can find an equal job financially.
I think there's merit to what you say, Tony. I agree with some of what you say. I do. I think there's some of that in there, without a doubt.
Yeah, and I say, and well, we don't know what their fall shot is. You know, how much are they really shot? You really don't get an accurate figure on that.
Well, some of the people that I talk to in Washington tell me they're off about 45%, and that's a significant number.
But what's the number of people? I mean, how many do they have to get per quarter?
I don't know what their numbers are.
That's what I'm saying. Percentages, you know, they're either the devil or God. You know,
but they say they need 10,000 people and they only get six. Why, you know?
Right. That's stupid. But they never really give the amount they need. You know, because they don't know what the problem part of it is too. They don't know what the real numbers are.
But you know, Tony, the real problem is though. They don't want to go there.
No, nobody does. And on either side, they're afraid to say something because they don't know how it's going to be taken.
Yeah, well, and I don't think the young people today are inspired by this war. Certainly not.
I understand what I'm saying, but if the economy's good, it doesn't matter whether they were inspired or not. They want to make money.
Oh yeah.
Type of thing.
Oh yeah. Well,
go ahead.
It's not bad money now. It's not like it used to be.
I understand. That's what I'm saying. You know, so you know they look at it kind of in a different light.
Yeah.
But anyway, I had one other question in the last call I brought up. You mentioned Savage.
Yeah.
I listen to different talk shows occasionally, not. But every time I get him on, I can't figure out what he is. Could you try to explain that to me?
Well, I will. I've noticed a change in him recently.
I just thought maybe the last 3 or 4 months.
Okay.
One day.
He was as hard right as you can get, and I mean hard right, really hard right, calling anybody on the left seditionist and traitors and treasonous and all that. Since things aren't going so well, he has lately started talking about Mr. Bush quite a little bit. If you've listened, you've heard that, and he's now saying that he may have to swing over to be a libertarian or something. But he was as hard right as you could get. But
well, my question is he running out of listeners, maybe? And that's why he's changed his tactics.
Well, yeah, they go, you know, I mean, a lot of radio hosts don't want to talk about this, but now we're in a slow time for talk radio right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the election, all the excitement of the national election's over, and we got a long time till the midterms. There isn't a worse time for talk radio than right now. And if you listen to a lot of talk radio, you've heard.
No, I don't. That's a problem. Just occasionally I'll go to an AM band and try to find something.
Well, there's a lot of them talking about other things. They're talking about personal matters. They're talking about financial matters.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. Because they know that right now the political stories are not resonating with a lot of people. So they're a lot of them are really searching around, and the ratings are down right now. It's just the way it is in talk radio. Hey, thanks for your call, Tony.
Okay. Hey, have a good one.
Yeah. You had a good point about that, about the recruiting. That certainly is a factor. There's no question about that. We want to go to Connie in Cape Coral. She wants to talk about my man, John Conyers.
Oh, this is a person who I just think the world of. guy.
You betcha. Is there anybody that works harder as a Democrat than John Conyers?
And he's also fearless. He's not afraid to, you know, he's speaking for me. That's how I feel, you know.
They can criticize him all they want to. It's water off a duck's back.
Yeah, I just wanted to let people know that on his website, johnconyers.com, he's asking for people to sign a letter asking Bush to respond to the Downing Street memo that was signed by 89 congresspeople. And he's going to take that letter signed. He's hoping to get 100,000 people to sign a letter asking President Bush to please respond. He's going to take it directly to the White House. So I'm just hoping to get a lot of people out there to sign and get the, you know, pressure put on. So.
Well, I hope you're right. And if there's little chance of success of this, and there is a little chance, we still have to stand up and be heard. And John Conyers is at least one man in Washington that understands that right is right and wrong is wrong, and we got to talk about it, even if the defeat is coming our way on the issue. We've got to talk about it. We've got to make it known. And doggone it, John Conyers is a political hero for doing so.
He really is. And I just wanted to say, on a personal local note, I'm very proud of your sponsor to put it, Bill Smith putting it out there. And I've never stepped inside their store, and I'm going to be going there and shopping, and I'm going to be making a point of telling them that I'm doing so because they sponsored your show, Guy.
Bless you, my dear. Thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
Good to hear from you.
Same here.
We're going to go up in Northern California right now. I'm going to talk to Dave. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Guy, I so much appreciate your program, and without you and a few like you, so much of America is so hopelessly misinformed. I think one of the things that's concerned me a lot is that the fact that our media is so useless nowadays, mainstream media, that's not just a neutral, that's a true negative. So many people say and honestly believe if the election was really rigged, wouldn't we be hearing that on Meet the Press? If there was an election fraud, wouldn't we be hearing that on Ted Koppel and things? They don't realize that somehow all of these people are silent. They can't deal with it. Another thing, your conservative caller that feels that the economy is up now, the way that it is up is when you average in how well the billionaires are doing with the people that are barely making it. Then you average that all together, and we're all doing pretty well.
Oh yeah, it's like if there's nine people in a bar that that are making
minimum wage,
and a millionaire walks in, all of a sudden everybody's averaging out $100,000 a year. that's the game they're playing right there. I just heard this afternoon, I don't have the figures here at my fingertips, but the huge percentage in millionaires and multimillionaires this past year, whereas the middle class shrank once again.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to do an awful lot of good, but I would certainly encourage people to go to that. She said the site is johnconyers.com.
Yes.
Yeah, well,
it's his blog, and John Conyers is a hard worker for the people and for the Democratic Party. He represents the real people.
I don't think the Republicans feel any urge to respond to him because they feel like how the people feel about them just doesn't matter because they got the damn machines and they're not going to give them up.
That's right. That's right. It's their game right now. It's theirs to lose, and they know. Well, they just know it's not going to happen. That's right. Dave,
good
thanks
to have people like yourself and John Conyers.
Well, we're going to keep talking. We're going to keep talking. As long as we're able to stay on the air and we get the funding that we need, we'll stay on the air. If not, we'll know the people aren't that concerned.
We've got a lot of listeners that will help in any way that we can. That's something we could do that might turn it around. You know that those of us would do whatever we could.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I do want to remind you once again, if you can donate to the program, www.theguyjamesshow.com. You can throw a few bucks in right there on PayPal. And you can also find our snail mail address on there, and I'll give it to you right now anyway. 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135. Folks, we've got some exciting things on the horizon here at the Guy James Show, and it would be a shame to have this all come to an end right now before we can have some good things come to fruition. So if you can donate to the program, You know, I hate that part, talking about it. It's like watching PBS, and you got to, you know, watching a good show, and all of a sudden here comes the pledge drive, and you got to sit there and watch it. But I won't bore you too much with it, but you know what I'm saying. Let's go to Fred in Fort Myers. Hi, Fred.
Yes, a guy. I'm wondering if it isn't possible to put together a coterie of people who are very intelligent, people who are and professors at universities, CEO, people from in business, anything, to get together a group together to come out strongly against Bush, George W. Bush. Because it's necessary. Did I hear you say earlier that you're only going to be on for a few more months?
A few more weeks if we don't get the funding we need.
What? Say that again.
I said we'll only be on for a few more weeks unless we get some financial help from people that listen to the program.
Well, aren't there some intelligent people around who would join up and say something about all this?
Well, let me tell you something, Fred. We've got thousands of people listening to this program, and only a very small portion of them do donate. So, I mean, that's the way it is all over, even with PBS. You've got, for every 1,000 people that listen, there's only, you know, 10 or so that donate. And we've got the same problem in here locally. Why? It's just not enough right now, and we need funds. Like I said, we need a little bit from a lot of people. We don't need a lot from one person.
Well, something's got to be done. Is getting more serious every day.
Oh yeah. But that's so it is in the Democratic Party. The Republicans will kick in all the hundreds of millions of dollars needed to keep those programs on the air, and the Democrats, it's a little different. It's a little different. It's like pulling teeth. Thanks for your call, Fred. Good to hear from you. Gosh, we're coming up to the top of the hour. Where does the time go on this program? I can't believe it goes. I've got a very important essay I want to talk to you about after the top of the hour. It's going to take about 5 minutes to talk about. But our good friend Michael Dean, Ph.D. Michael Dean, here in Lee County, Florida, sent me an essay that he sent me a lot of great things that he writes. He's an excellent writer, and he's a great thinker. And he sent me this whole thing called "Is George Bush a Liar?" And I want to read it to you verbatim after the top of the hour, and it won't take very long, 3-4 minutes, I'm not sure. But what Michael says is, well, take it to the bank. Michael is a big thinker, and I'll be getting to that right after the top of the hour. Once again, do want to mention that. Do you have anybody in Iraq right now? I've got some family members that just got back. Second cousin and third cousin, I guess it would be. My cousin's son and grandson just got back from over that way. Glad they're home safe and sound, and mindful of all the folks that are over there on this Memorial Day weekend. I hope that they're aware of the fact that there are millions of us here at home thinking about them and remembering them and in our thoughts and prayers every single day. I, for one, will not forget those people in uniform over there right now. I will not. And shame on anybody who does forget that's going on right now. And I'm afraid millions of Americans are in that category. Well, you are listening to the Guy James Show, and we're going to be back with more of it. And it is sponsored by the Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics. And we'll talk to you right after the top of the hour. Don't go away.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
News Radio, I'm Uma Pemaraju. Conflicting reports over Clinton's health. The former president, who had heart bypass surgery in September, canceled a portion of his tsunami relief trip. One spokesman for the UN says Clinton is exhausted. Another claims the cancellation is due to weather. Fox's Todd Connor speaks to a Clinton spokesman.
A visit to one island, he says, was canceled due to weather there, but the schedule continues otherwise, with four meetings and a press availability in the Maldives tomorrow, then on to Banda Aceh for a full full schedule Monday as planned.
The King's health. A hospital in Saudi Arabia claims King Fahd's health is slowly improving. Fahd, in his 80s, had a fever and fluid in his lungs. He had a bad stroke back in 1995. Oliver out on bail. Oscar-winning movie director Oliver Stone arrested Friday night for allegedly driving drunk and having drugs in his car. Stone, 58, released on $15,000 bail. Fox News, you report, you decide.
Homeownership is a dream come true for most people. Finding someone you trust to help you with the right mortgage is extremely important. Amy Klausner of SunTrust Mortgage is always looking for ways to say yes to you. Amy has over 16 years mortgage and banking experience and is the number one loan officer for SunTrust Bank, the number one mortgage lender in Southwest Florida. Amy can provide loans from $50,000 to $5 million to help you make a home purchase, refinance your existing home, purchase a second home, investment properties, provide alternative credit, and more. Due to her local processing, underwriting, and closing departments being at a local level, Amy can offer quick one-hour approval loan applications and rapid closings. Call Amy at 239-403-2703 or toll-free at 1-866-763-0594, extension 2703. Or receive an online mortgage application by emailing her at amy.klausner@suntrust.com. Catering to your needs, Amy Klausner with SunTrust Mortgage. Amy always gets the job done.
At Galliano Chrysler Jeep, there's an excitement in the air about remodeling their five-star facility. There's only one problem. The contractors have taken up a huge amount of space that is needed to display cars. Take one look at Galliano's lot and you'll see they have no room. With new Chryslers and Jeeps arriving daily, now more than ever, Galliano has to quickly sell down Southwest Florida's largest inventory of new Chryslers and Jeeps. And that means big savings to you. Up to $7,000 on a 2005 Chrysler Crossfire. Or Chrysler PT Cruiser Convertible starting from only $17,990. Thousands on a huge selection of hot-selling Town and Country minivans with stow-and-go seating. Or the all-new 2005 Jeep Grand Cherokee for just $279 per month. Through May, get the rebate and 0% financing on the best-in-class 2005 Jeep Liberty. Or test drive everybody's car of the year, the Chrysler 300. This May, Galliano Chrysler Jeep is under pressure to make room for their big renovation. And that means Galliano Chrysler Jeep will make virtually any possible deal happen. Nobody, but nobody, beats Galliano Chrysler Jeep. South Tamiami Trail, Fort Myers.
I'm Frank Scafidi, Director of Public Affairs at the National Insurance Crime Bureau. Becoming a victim of a hurricane may be impossible to avoid, but you can avoid being victimized by dishonest contractors and adjusters. Educate yourself against unscrupulous operators. For more tips about avoiding disaster fraud, visit the NICB website at www.nicb.org. To report disaster fraud, call 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB.
Bells aren't the only things ringing this holiday season. Ringtones are too. Cell phones are among the year's most popular gifts. Nokia 7610 camera.
30 seconds.
Video. The company also makes the 6620 handset. It works on high-speed networks and can run the most popular business applications. And if a gamer is on your list, check out the N-Gage QD. The compact device has a hot swappable multimedia slot for instant mobile gaming. For more information, visit www.nokiausa.com.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG.
Government document more important than this, because without free speech and a free press, all of our other freedoms would not survive. The right of free speech and peaceful dissent ensures that all Americans' voices may be heard, no matter what the circumstance. We've watched other countries lose their right to free speech and turn into totalitarian nations where truth was whatever the ruling class deemed it to be. We cannot allow this to happen in America. We cannot afford to give up nor compromise these sacred rights. It is in this spirit that Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics is proud to sponsor The Guy James Show.
God bless America. The only thing we have to fear is
Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Well, here we are with the last 1 hour of the program. We hope you'll stay with us right up till 10 o'clock. That's right, we'll be here till 10 o'clock, 1 hour to go. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. 479-5540 here locally, and 263-6570. We've been talking about Memorial Day tonight and several other subjects. War, sooner or later, touches just about everybody. I guess it hadn't touched enough people in America right now, or they'd be out demonstrating in the streets about this unjust, horrible war. The way they've run the war has been horrible, and, well, from the very inception, it was a mistake. And I think a lot of Americans are realizing a mistake. But have you noticed the obvious effort by the press to subdue this talk about the British memo that proves what a liar George Bush was about this whole thing? We'll talk about that in a little bit. We're talking about Memorial Day and how war does touch everybody. And I mentioned earlier on in the program about my father was a Navy veteran of the Second World War and some of the stories he told about it. My wife's brother, Danny, he was a Vietnam veteran, a guy full of life, just the light of the whole family, the baby of the family, and you know how that is, all you people with several of you in the family, and much loved by the family. He went away to Vietnam, a healthy, vibrant guy, just full of life and vim and vigor, and he came home after Vietnam and was never the same. He was wounded in Vietnam, and physically he healed up okay. But in other ways, he never did. He never did, and he died an early death. So you don't have to die on the battlefield. You can die in a different way as a result of a war. And he did, and many thousands of others have done as well. And we remember all of those people who left their souls, if you will, on the battlefield. Well, I told you I was going to talk about this, and I guess I'm going to. Our friend, Ph.D. Mr. Michael Dean, a local Democratic friend here, one of the guys with a big brain around here that thinks a lot, sent me this essay, and it's so good, I wanted to read it to you. So stick with me a couple of minutes, and I'll go through this because I think it's important that you hear about it. It makes a lot of sense. Is George Bush a liar? The American public has now had 4 years of what is loosely called Bush leadership. According to most polls, about half of the nation thinks G.W. Bush is some kind of heroic or even a saintly figure, and the other half thinks he's a shallow, smirking, strutting, popinjay liar who's determined to destroy the democracy he found intact when he was given the presidency by the Supreme Court. Many people have charged that he has a firm propensity to misinform, deceive, or even maliciously lie in order to gain some corporate goal advantage. Other people believe he talks to his God and therefore would not ever lie. Perhaps asking some rhetorical questions might clarify the issue of whether Bush deliberately lies, makes simple but good-hearted mistakes, and is an innocent person who is deceived by bad people or follows advice from his God. Did Bush make war on Iraq in order to avenge an attempt on the life of his father? Did Bush make war on Iraq because he showed that Iraq was involved in the 9/11 destruction of the Twin Towers and Pentagon? Did Bush make war on Iraq because he showed that Saddam Hussein of Iraq was the mastermind behind the 9/11 disaster, or at the very least, was an accomplice or patron of Osama bin Laden? Did Bush make war on Iraq because he couldn't catch Osama bin Laden, then decided to save face by regime changing in Iraq? Did Bush decide to make war on Iraq long before the 9/11 disaster, as he was involved with the neoconservative plots to dominate the world? Did Bush decide to make war on Iraq because his associates, Vice President Cheney, Rumsfeld, Rice, Rove, et al., talked to him into it? Did Bush decide to make war on Iraq because he knew that after the Gulf War, the Iraqi army was sadly deficient and he could easily seize Iraqi oil wells to enrich his corporate partners? Did Bush use emotional, religious rhetoric and the promise of supporting Christian domination to persuade his believer supporters to give him carte blanche power without any restraint? Did any of the daily political rhetoric of Bush concerning Iraqi weapons of mass destruction, nuclear works, aluminum tubes, yellow cakes, pilotless planes to attack the U.S., etc., proved to be true? Any of them? You know the answer to that. And to go on, did Bush declare war on Iraq to free the Iraqis from an oppressive regime or to seize their country as a future base for expansion of U.S. interest? Did Bush use cruise missiles, helicopters, bunker buster bombs, shock and awe tactics, 120,000 troops in Humvees with deadly weapons as a legitimate means of spreading democracy? Did soldiers under Bush's order kill many thousands of Iraqis, destroy their homes and infrastructure because this is a democratic way to spread liberty? Did 1,700 American soldiers die for their country or to satisfy a politician's desire to rule the world? Does Bush understand what sovereignty means when he appointed all Iraqi leadership, stage-managed the election, called Iraqi resistance fighters thugs and terrorists, began building a huge permanent airbase and embassy in Iraq, and will keep thousands of American soldiers in Iraq for many, many years in order to further his plans to invade Syria, Iran, and other countries? Did Bush understand that the world believes he is corrupt because he handed Iraqi resources to Millennium Corporation without a contract, without hesitation, and that by coincidence, Vice President Cheney just happened to be the chief operating officer of Millennium? Did Bush understand that the world believes he is corrupt because $900 billion have disappeared without a trace into his military and industrial friends' pockets? Did Bush understand that George Galloway spoke the truth about Bush's corruption and incompetence? Did Bush ever find out who outed his CIA agent? Did Bush know he was following neocon design and the project for the new American century draft-dodging war hawks in his cabinet? Did Bush know he was turning Iraq over to greedy corporate neoconservatives? Did Bush know or care that he was foisting his beliefs on the entire nation, that this is damnably intrusive and potentially a cause for civil and religious warfare? Did Bush in any way enter into any question of abuse, torture, and detention of anyone he's detained beyond ordinary legal requirements? Does Bush use fake journalists to praise him, highly select his audiences, pay his bureaus to write praises of his leadership, use swift boat people to demonize his opponent, and use phony phrases like mission accomplished so he can strut about as if he were a real soldier? Did Bush know that turning his Oval Office into a Christian chapel for Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson would turn into religious warfare with the possibility of civil war? Please answer these rhetorical questions and decide if Bush lies and deceives often, or is open, honest, and candid in all his dealings in the name and fame of the United States. Is this a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, or a government of corporate executives, by corporate executives, for corporate executives, and true believers? I await your response. Michael Dean, Ph.D. Well, could you say it any better than that? Let's go talk to John in Fort Myers. Hi, John.
Well, hi. You know, Bush went to war because Donald Rumsfeld has wanted to go to war since, what, 1996, when he tried to con Clinton into it?
Oh, sure, that whole neocon gang.
So, you know, you had a willing president, and I call it Rumsfeld's war. That's more to the truth of it. I'm looking forward to this next election. I don't know who the Republicans are going to run because Bill Frist has got so much baggage and skeletons in his closet. But, you know, Laura Bush has been out over to the Middle East. And, golly, wasn't it terrible? She was hated by the Palestinians and the Jews. But I think we might see her running against Hillary Clinton. What do you think?
I love your style. That's a good one.
You know, I just like to give you a little chuckle. Each time I go,
oh, yeah.
You know, but, and you know, for the Republican who loves George Bush, now, you know, I respect the man and all that, but Laura Bush's comments at the press club roast were tasteless. And George Bush and Laura, the whole gang, have handlers, Karl Rove. They have image builders, people that want him to look good and so forth. Why would these two Bushes allow people to put them in such demeaning spots? Now, the other another demeaning spot, which I think is so important, and I haven't read this to you in ages, but they send Bush out to do something about Social Security, and maybe he does want to do something about Social Security. I don't know. But his handlers send him out with no knowledge of what Social Security is about, how it works, or anything. Because when he was asked by a lady at one of these groups where they screen everybody coming in to make sure there's not going to be anybody there to ask him anything embarrassing or protest or demonstrate, when he was asked how Social Security works, this is what he said. It is a series of parts of the formula that are being considered. When you couple that, those different cost drivers affecting the changing, those with personal accounts, the idea is to get what has been promised more likely to be or closer delivered to what has been promised. Do you understand?
Well, of course, don't you?
Exactly. And I have that on tape.
Yeah.
And it is out there available. I don't know if it's on the internet or where it would be, but people can find that exactly verbatim as I've read it. And here they've got a man that they just love that doesn't know anything about government, doesn't know how Social Security works, doesn't really know anything except what his handlers and people around him tell him. And how does he know they're telling the truth? He's blind trusting? It makes no sense. I've never seen an administration like this. I compare him with President Grant, who was taken advantage of by a lot of his underlings.
I think he's just delusional. I really think he's got a monster ego, and I think he really is making the decisions, and I think he thinks they're all great decisions. I think he's totally delusional. I really do.
I just don't know, because I did see the Frontline report that showed how he became into the limelight in the presidency and so forth, and a large group made up of Wolfowitz, Pearl, Rove, Kissinger, Powell, all of them went down and asked him to run for president. And according to the narrator, he expressed reservations that he didn't know enough about world affairs and so forth to do the job. He was concerned about that, according to this narrator. And these guys, of course, said, hey, don't worry about it. We'll help you out.
Yeah.
So here you got...
Just listen to...
Rumsfeld helping him build a great historical presence by going to war in Iraq, which was a country that had nothing to do with the 9/11, the planes flying into the buildings. Those people that had anything to do with that, most of them got killed. Bin Laden, of course, is supposed to be their inspiration and driving force, who, incidentally, I found out, we trained him for Afghanistan to run the Russians out, and 20,000 of his men. He had a troop of 20,000 men he was going to take back Kuwait.
That's right.
And I also understand from something I heard that the standing army that we have, many of these men have not gone to Iraq. They have missed it completely because they've pulled all our National Guard people up to fight. And that's not what the National Guard is there for. They're our last resort. The Army should have been in there. And to think that we have people in the Army that haven't been into that battle yet?
Well, they're getting recycled over and over and over again.
Well, the reserves are, but the standing army that we have isn't. I don't know what percentage.
No, the standing army isn't, but, they're talking about bringing back the draft. We have already got the draft back. So many of these guys are finding out that, mm-hmm. They get home and then say, hey, wait a minute, you didn't read the fine print, you're coming back.
Sure, but when we've got a standing army that we're not using, then none of it makes sense to me. Well, I did call about the veterans, and it was nice to see that they passed the bill for $80 billion to continue fighting in Iraq. And in that bill, I understand, will be pay of $100,000. They increase the insurance on our soldiers that are killed over there or in battle.
Yeah.
And I hope this includes the people that got killed in Afghanistan. I think the figure is up to $100,000 per person now, and that will be retroactive.
That's the least we can do.
Well, that's for sure, because I understand they turned down a bill, and I don't know that I'm correct in the figure, but I think it was mentioned $150 billion for veterans affairs to take care of our vets after they come back. Now, that bill was turned down, But they pass $80 billion to continue fighting the war, but in that they come up with $100,000 for each soldier that's gotten killed. Something's wrong up there in Washington, D.C., and of course things are changing slightly. There's a senator, I think he's from South Dakota, there's a base going to be closed there, and he was following the party line until he found out his base was going to be closed, and now he's not so sure if he wants to vote for Bolton or these judges. So he's starting to do that old swap and trade thing that they do up there.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, he's getting reprimanded very hard for this, just like the gentleman in Ohio was when he expressed reservations about Bolton. And, of course, the Republicans just eat their young. I was glad to hear the man say that Democrats have only been in 12 years since Nixon. So the Republicans have been screwing things up all these other years, and the Republicans just seem to think it's just so wonderful.
Yeah.
And I, frankly, would like to see Bolton in the United Nations. I'd like to see these judges, because I've seen these judges and know a little about them. They're going to make a lot of trouble for the Republican Party. The Republicans aren't going to be so happy that they put these people in. And I'd like to see the Republican Party just go down in ashes.
Well, this Bolton thing is just plain stubbornness. This guy, no, you wouldn't hire him. You wouldn't hire him for some little local small company. He wouldn't last in an office environment.
Not. And I love that phrase the guy said he kisses his way up and kicks the people behind.
Yeah.
I can't say the phrase exactly, but...
kiss up and kick down.
Right, right. And how many more of those people do we have up there before the Republicans realize that they have a bunch of fools in there? They change these guys.
Yeah, well, it's going to come home to roost. Hey, John, thanks for your call. Good to hear from you. We're going to go over to Mike in Bonita Springs. Hiya, Mike.
Good morning, Guy. How are you doing?
Well, hello.
I'm sorry. Good evening.
Yeah.
I work all kinds of the day and night, so I sometimes do not know what time it is. How are you doing this evening?
Well, not bad.
I was in the car listening to you on the way home, and you were talking to a caller about you might not be on for very much longer if you don't have enough financing. And I was curious, you were kind of vague about that, and I would like to know if you could go into the logistics of this a little bit more with us. I work in a shop part of the week where I assemble electronic circuits, and we have a radio going, and we have the local talk show in the morning, and then, of course, there's Laura Ingraham, and then after that is Rush Limbaugh, and then after that is Sean Hannity, and on the other channel is... Glenn Beck and I forget the other guy's name.
Neil Bork.
Neil Bork. Yeah, and but these people now they all have sponsors and they have commercials that intersperse their shows, and none of them ever ask listeners to send in money.
No.
Now you have your program. And you, at the beginning of it, you know, have that hardware place that says, we're proud to sponsor this show, and you have commercials during your show. Is it that your sponsors, you run the ads for free, or they're not paying their bills? I mean, how come
no,
you
let
have
me,
to
let
ask
me explain, let me explain that to you. Let me explain it to you. We have one sponsor. The other commercials you hear during the show are not sponsors of the show.
They are local.
Yes.
Okay, I see.
And
you need is a good salesman.
Well, we're like we always say, we're in the heart of darkness, Republican territory, and I'll just tell you right straight up front, and I hate to say it, but a lot of people are intimidated by the fact that they will suffer recriminations by people if they sponsor a liberal talk show in this what is one of the most conservative areas in the entire United States.
Okay, I understand that. I understand, and I'm very grateful that the local radio station here, can I give them a plug, WINK, WNOG, WTPK, Power Talk 1200, AM 1240, and AM 1270. I am just tickled pink that they are running your program 2 hours a week, because I've been hearing about, you know, things like about what Al Franken's been trying to do. You know, it's all like in like, what, 4 or 5 markets, you know, and most of the stations around the country won't carry this. And I will have to tell you, I am a conservative. I voted for George Bush. I'm a Republican, but I do like to hear the other side. And that's why I listen to your program. And I encourage other people to do so also, because it's good to hear both sides of
Well, let me also explain to you that we do not get paid for doing the show, and let me explain to you, and I hate to explain this to people, we pay to have the show on the air.
Okay.
We do not broadcast the show for any altruistic reasons from any radio station. They do not put us on the air except for money.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So you're not getting rich doing this.
No. Certainly not.
Okay. Well, look.
Nor did we expect to, nor did we ever ask to. We just want to be treated fairly. But we buy our time. The rest of the shows are on as a result
right.
of sponsorship.
The stations buy the programs. You're buying time to
yes.
get on the air.
Yes.
So, like, kind of like infomercials do. Right.
Pretty much.
Exactly. So, like I said, you need a good salesman.
Yeah. Well.
So,
yeah.
I tell you what. Like I said, I don't agree with everything I hear on your program, but I do listen because I do like to hear all points of view, and I want to encourage you to keep it up and keep doing it as long as you can, and get a good salesman, guy.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Like,
you
get out there, get some accounts.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to do. Let me tell you, we've turned over every rock.
I know. Well, there's somebody out there someplace who will say, hey, I can get you some accounts. You just got to find the right guy to do it. But, hey, Guy, I do enjoy your program. I don't agree with everything I hear, but I do enjoy it. And I am glad you're on the air here in Southwest Florida. And, you know, I just hope you can get on the air in more places around in the country, because what this country needs is not just, you know, what we're getting right now is we're getting all conservative talk radio. It's just slapped all over the dial. And you're really trying to make an inroad here. And keep it up. Keep it up. I mean, keep trying.
Well, we will. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you very much, guys. I tell you, it's a pleasure and an honor to talk to you, Guy.
Thank you.
Good night.
I think there's more to it than people understand. And we have turned over every rock. I could go into a long diatribe of how it actually goes and how you try and get funding for a program like this and so forth. It's very tough. It's very tough, and I don't know that we've missed anything. It's if you do get a salesman, then you have to work with the radio station about putting the commercials on and all that sort of. It's a difficult situation, and let me tell you, we've worked very hard on that end of it, very hard. And I don't know if America's ready for this show, but like I did mention to others early in the program, we were in Cleveland, and to the gentleman that just called, and I appreciated that very fair. Minded call. We do stream this program on the internet around the world. We have many, many listeners on there, and we did talk to some folks this week about, some big time radio people talking about doing something with the program. But again, we have to kind of make it successful around here first, and I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Let's go to John in Cape Coral, and he wants to talk to Amnesty International. And by gosh, I believe the Amnesty International would like to talk to a few American leaders right now.
Well, my topic on that one came from C-SPAN 2. I happened to catch it this week, and I didn't catch the whole thing, but it was enough. I think the name gentleman talking was William Berger, and he was the head of Amnesty International America, and he was roundly condemning the Bush administration for its mistreatment of the people we are detaining in Guantanamo and other parts of the world, that we don't afford, decent treatment, that we employ, acts of torture, that we mistreat them, and compared us to some of the worst countries in the world.
Yeah.
And, Geneva Convention isn't observed. Our track record is horrendous, and this was never the story of the United States of America. We always took the high ground.
I heard John McCain talking about it the other day. Here's a man that knows something about being a prisoner, and he's deathly afraid of what might happen to American prisoners in the future as a result of these illegal actions by the Bush administration.
I mean, I don't understand it. Maybe you can explain it to me. Here's an administration that has won power on the basis of morality issues. Am I correct?
Yes, indeed.
What's the morality if you don't treat the people you've captured in a humane way? If we employ torture.
That's right. You got no leg to stand on when you're talking about morality, then. It's
and
gone.
If American troops are captured by anybody, how can we then say you have to observe the Geneva Conventions when we are no longer doing it ourselves?
Right. Is that, what was it our new attorney general said? It's quaint and outdated.
Well, if it's quaint and outdated, I pity, you know, there was one of the general callers you just had now talked about the problems of recruiting. Well, you know, one of the things, if you're in the services, you could be taken prisoner.
That's right. It could happen to anyone.
And we like to have our people treated properly. And part of what we say is we treat your people right. We observe the conventions. We expect you to do it. Well, if we're no longer doing so, how can we then ask for protection for our people?
No, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is another one of those cases from this Bush administration. Do as I say, not as I do, you know.
And I'd like to draw a parallel. Maybe I'm wrong on this, but I will stand corrected if you feel it's improper, but I'd like to compare what happened in World War II in Nazi Germany, where people did nothing when, you know, 6 million Jews and 6 million other people were grossly mistreated in something called the Holocaust. And then people said, well, we didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
Our government did it. Now, here we are in a situation where we are certainly hearing that our government is doing it. Our leadership is doing it. And my question is, where are all these self-righteous, moral people who call themselves Christians? What are they doing about this Bush administration, which has this dreadful human rights record?
You're right, John. And they're the same people, these upright standing people, just like you just mentioned just there. They're the same people. Well, kill them all. We don't care. We shouldn't even have prisoners anyway. Kill them, torture them, do whatever you have to. John, I got a break at the bottom of the hour. They're telling me I got to go.
That's my point, sir. And I just hope that somebody picks up on it, and certainly hope that you continue on the air.
Thank you, John.
Take care.
All right. We'll be right back with more of the Guy James Show, sponsored by Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics, and we'll see you just right on the other side of these commercials.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station, Wink WNOG.
Whatever you need, whatever you want, is on sale now at Bill Smith at the guaranteed lowest price in Southwest Florida. Frost-free refrigerators, freezers, washers, dishwashers, smooth-top ranges, 32-inch TVs, DVDs, LCD TVs, high-definition widescreens, complete home theater systems, plus free delivery or 18 months interest-free. Bill Smith, Southwest Florida's largest selection of appliances and home electronics at the guaranteed lowest price.
Tomorrow's clouds today.
Now, see tomorrow's weather before it happens.
Clouds, even some rain showers.
With True View, only on Wink News.
Tomorrow, don't expect to see any sun.
True View's cutting-edge technology.
Notice how the clouds really roll in and increase.
Lets you see exactly what's coming and when.
Low clouds and fog early in the morning will dissipate.
The most advanced technology and certified local meteorologists. True View, only on Wink News. Southwest Florida's news leader. Wake up to a new morning with Wink News. Patrick Gomer and Stacey Adams get you going with breaking news, weather, and exclusive Sky Eye traffic. Waking up is hard to do. Wink News makes it easier with your first forecast, your first look at the roads, and breaking news from around the corner and around the world. Wink News this morning, weekdays from 5 to 8, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader.
Brown & Hunt Financial Group is a full-service brokerage and investment advisory firm with a wealth of Wall Street resources. At Brown & Hunt, financial goals are their primary concern. Richard Brown, president of Brown & Hunt Financial Group, is presently offering the free financial physical. The free financial physical will cover the needs, wants, and objectives of your financial future. Mr. Brown will go over your current investments, explaining the ratings of your current stocks and mutual funds, reviewing your annuities and bonds, and making recommendations on your portfolio. For an appointment, call 415-4650. That's 415-4650. And ask for Richard Brown to have your free financial physical. Call 415-4650 today. Don't forget to listen to All About Money and Investing, hosted by Richard Brown, president of Brown & Hunt Financial Group, every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on 1240 and 1270 Wink WNOG.
Hello, Mr.
Mrs. Johnson. Let's see, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hello.
And as you know, he's African-American like you, so you can trust him.
And that's important, because here's the low monthly payment and interest rate you were promised, and here's where it triples. Plus, we buried a balloon payment in there, so you'll need another loan just to pay that off.
Another loan?
But we'll keep giving you loans.
Until we eventually take all the equity you had in your house, leaving you with absolutely nothing.
What? But don't worry. We're going to sell you credit life insurance. You don't really need it, but we sell it at 5 times the cost.
Which puts a ton of cash in our pockets.
Wait, whoa. Don't get up. You look nervous.
Ooh, we better hurry up and get you to sign. Or if you don't, I can pretend to ruin your credit with one phone call.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
In Lancaster, a little league coach gets his team to the big game.
In Ventura, a volunteer firefighter orders herself out of bed at 4 a.m.
In Peoria, a CPA joins the PTA.
In Nashville, an aspiring songwriter joins the Naval Reserve.
People across America are giving back to their community and their country. The Naval Reserve is proud to include these individuals among our ranks. Together, we will build a better world. Call 1-800-USA-USNR or go to NavalReserve.com. Naval Reserve, stay strong.
You put your keys between your knuckles. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. You lock the door behind you, maybe twice. Now you feel safe. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not eating right, if you're not active, or if you smoke, you're putting yourself at risk for disease. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
All righty then, we're back to the, last 22 minutes of the program. We've got a lot to do in 22 minutes. But first, let's go to Sue in California. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Guy. How are you?
Well, I'm good, and I thank you for calling the program.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to comment on, what your program and the information that you're getting out there. I think it's really, really helpful for people to know what is going on from your perspective, and I think it's a valid perspective. I'm very disappointed in what's been going on, especially the last few weeks with some of these things that have been passed by the Senate that are just cutting away pieces of the Constitution of the United States, and nobody seems to even care or be aware of it.
Bit by bit.
Yeah, and I'm wondering how much of it there'll be left in another 3 years.
That's right.
I mean, the whole thing might be gone, and it's very, very discouraging for everybody. And I would just like to, encourage others to please try to support your program in some way. I have for a long time, and I live on a very, very limited income. And I feel like if I can afford to send something every once in a while, I think that other people can do it too. And I'd like to thank you for your show and for everything that you do.
Well, Sue, I appreciate that comment. I do, it's nice to know we're of some value to somebody, and we get a lot of nice comments from folks, and it's always a struggle to keep going financially, but we've managed somehow, and I hope we can keep managing for a while longer. I'm so grateful for your help, and I'm so thankful for your call. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome, Guy. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I actually calling from California. It's only, what time? It's only, 6:39 out there. Yeah. Hey, one thing, first of all, I had to play this. I don't know how many of you have heard this. You ready for this, Ron? I want to play one little thing I heard Mr. Bush say. Remember this, folks. This is the leader of the free world right here.
As I mentioned to you earlier, we're going to redesign the current system. If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Third time I've said that. I'll probably say it 3 more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in, to kind of catapult the propaganda.
Catapult the propaganda. That's the President of the United States and the leader of the free world. God, I'm sorry. I take shots at the man. I, it's so easy. He's such an easy target for shots like that. The guy, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, they make speeches up for him, and then he starts to stray away from it, and I can just hear his speechwriters as they're watching him on TV. They're going, oh, my God, there he goes again. He went away from, oh, no, no, he's going to put in his own. Oh, no, there's another one of his comments. Oh, God, he makes speechwriters look bad. He does. He does. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. 479-5540 here locally, 263-6570 in Collier County. County. We got a couple lines open right now, so give us a call. Let's put this to rest once and for all. I'm sure you know about these lies about the war. And I'm sure you remember that back in 2002, the year before the Iraq War was started, the United Nations Security Council ordered Iraq to produce a report that detailed all of its biological, chemical, and nuclear weapons, both past and present. And Iraqi officials compiled and produced, and you heard so much about it, an 11,800-page report on Iraq's weapons program. The report described all the chemical and biological weapons the country once had, where they came from, and what was done with them, as well as what had happened to Iraq's nuclear weapons program. You remember that big report. I know you do. And although the report was prepared for the United Nations, somehow, mysteriously, United States officials intercepted the report, and they edited out 8,000 pages. That's over two-thirds of it. And then delivered its, you might call it its Reader's Digest version of the report to the UN after we took out 8,000 pages of it. Now, that was just, here's a little message from that to the rest of the world. Screw you. You don't matter. We got the report. We'll give you the part of it we want you to read, and just shut up. You're not getting any more of it. Well, as many of you have heard, and of course as the news media here in this country hardly mentioned it all, its German reporter managed to get a copy of the original report from Iraq, and then he compared it with the edited copy the U.S. gave to the U.N., and he found that the missing parts, and don't you know, they covered the Iraqis' acquisition of chemical and biological weapons from the United States, the delivery of non-fissionable materials for a nuclear bomb by the U.S. to the Iraqis, and the training of Iraqi nuclear scientists at U.S. nuclear facilities in Los Alamos, Sandia, and Berkeley. Okay? That's why the Bush administration took out the 8,000 pages. They didn't want to know we'd been playing patty cake with Saddam Hussein all along. And the basic points that were made in this report were Iraq once had chemical and biological weapons. Some of those weapons were destroyed at the end of the Gulf War, and the rest were destroyed under the supervision of the U.N. weapons inspector. Remember, we had Scott Ritter on the program. Iraq once had a program to develop nuclear weapons, and some of the nuclear weapons facilities were destroyed at the end of the Gulf War, and the rest of them were destroyed under the supervision of U.N. weapons inspectors. And then along comes U.N. weapons inspector Hans Blix, and he said the conclusions stated in this report were basically true. This is the report from Saddam Hussein, and that Iraq no longer had dangerous weapons. Of course, Colin Powell, the lackey for the Bush administration, dismissed this report, calling it a catalog of recycled information and flagrant omissions. And of course, as we now know, the information was recycled because it happened to be true, and the omissions were flagrant because U.S. officials had done the omitting. Well, Hussein said he'd like to bring back in the U.N. weapons inspector back to Iraq. Remember that? Things started looking like, we had the guns pointed at him. He says, all right. You know, he was smart enough to know what was going to happen. So he says, you bring the weapons inspectors back in. And if you'll remember, they left for safety reasons back in 98 when Clinton resumed the airstrikes against the Iraqis. And so President Bush called Hussein's offer cynical ploy, and managed to nip any such idea in the bud. No more weapons inspectors, because Bush knew. He knew. So Hussein invited the U.S. Congress to send some representatives, accompanied by any of the experts they wanted to bring, to inspect any facilities in Iraq that they wanted. They had carte blanche to go anywhere, and Bush said this changed nothing, and he managed to completely derail the sending of a congressional delegation. Many of the congressional delegates said they'd go. So over and over, George Bush told us that Saddam Hussein was lying and that he was dragging his feet and Iraq had dangerous weapons and Hussein was a threat to the whole world. Blah, 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 blah. Well, here we are, nearly 2.5 years later, and what have we learned from this? Well, the way I see it, we learned the hunt for weapons of mass destruction has turned up exactly nothing, and so the hunt was called off a long time ago. Everything Hussein said about the weapons has turned out to be absolutely true. Everything George Bush said about Iraq's weapons has turned out to be absolutely false. The Bush administration is trying to sugarcoat the above conclusions, but by saying that, Charles Duffer and the CIA's Iraq Survey Group, they discovered an intent. I love that one. They discovered an intent by Hussein to renew his WMD programs if the U.S. would only stay out of Iraq. However, Duffer has provided no hard evidence of such an intent. And, you know, once again, after all that, we're getting the firm assertions from the Bush administration backed up by absolutely nothing. And so, former weapons inspector, and you heard him talk about it on this program, Scott Ritter, he summed it up all really well, and I want to quote Scott here right now. One of the tragic ironies of the decision to invade Iraq is that the Iraqi WMD declaration required by Security Council Resolution 1441, don't you all remember how they pounded that to 1441, but he violated 1441. You heard every one of those Republicans, he violated Resolution 1441. And Scott goes on to say, required by Social Security Resolution 1441, submitted by Iraq in December 2000, and was summarily rejected by Bush and Blair as repackaged falsehoods, now stands as the most accurate compilation of data yet assembled regarding Iraq's WMD program. Saddam Hussein has yet to be contradicted on a single point of substantive fact. Iraq had disarmed, and no one wanted to accept that conclusion. In other words, the butcher of Baghdad was correct, and the president of the United States was wrong. The butcher of Baghdad is going to be put on trial for war crimes. The president of the United States of America was reelected to lead the country for 4 more years. My conclusion of this whole thing is it is a sorry state of affairs in America when you can trust the words of Saddam Hussein more than those of your own president. But that's how it worked out to be on this. Hussein's report was right. It was correct. It was truthful. And everything Bush said about the weapons has been absolutely wrong. And now we know with the British memo that the press is so hush-hush about, haven't given it hardly a second thought. We know that this war was contrived. We know that they wanted the war the day he walked into the Oval Office for the first time in his administration. We know he wanted it then. We've heard by several former members of his administration that he was going to get Saddam Hussein no matter what from day one. So what does he do? He builds a case for war with lies. Lies, lies, and more lies. There have been people try and defend him and say, oh, well, no, he had the same information that everybody else had. The Democrats voted for the war, too. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That one doesn't wash anymore. If I'm the one that has the information, and I pass it on to you as truth, and it turns out to be wrong, it is I that am at fault. I am the one who did the lying. You are the one who was duped. Don't forget that. He's the man in power. He's the man with the full prestige and power of the United States government behind him. And when the President of the United States stands before the Congress of the United States and said this is so, it had damned well better be so. And it was not in this case. It was not in any way, shape, or form. George W. Bush Vice President Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, the whole damn dirty clan of them, Condoleezza Rice and the rest, knew that this war had been phonied up from start to finish. It was the PNAC group wishes to go to war, and they were going to do it come hell or high water. I swear to you, if 9/11 had not happened, we would still have gone to war. They would have found a way to go to war against Saddam Hussein. You know it, I know it, and because of the British memo finally telling the truth, everybody knows it. But the problem is, some of you don't want to accept it. We had a caller on this show last week that still wouldn't accept it, that those WMDs were there and they were hidden in Syria and they were hidden here and there. They were in the land of Oz and Disneyland. They're everywhere. But so many of you who still support this president, it is beyond my comprehension that you can see the facts that have been brought out in the last 2 or 3 weeks about this war. It blows my mind to know that you could still stand behind this man who has stood before you, before God, before the Congress of the United States, and before every citizen of the United States who's ever watched the television and looked him in the eye and lied to him. Didn't tell him a mistake. Oh, no, he wasn't merely mistaken. That would be bad enough in this case to go out and start a war on a mistake. That would be almost unforgivable. But it is absolutely unforgivable to go before the world and make the case for a war that you know is wrong. You knew it. Is he a pathological liar that doesn't know the truth from fiction? Is he? You know this little statement we played a little while ago, and where he said, I'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in, to kind of catapult the propaganda. Compare that with the words of the great Franklin Roosevelt, who said, repetition does not transform a lie into a truth. But you know what? In this country, in the past 2 or 3 years, they have transformed a lie into a truth. Ron, that hum went away just a moment ago. Whatever it was. Repetition does not transform a lie into a truth. But the Bush administration, over and over and over again, has been using the power of the right-wing media, the stronghold the right has on the media in this country, to tell people that black is white and white is black. And the most disappointing part of it all is not that he would do that, because there are terrible men in this world who will lie to feather their own nest, lie in a despicable fashion like this. There's plenty of men in this world that would do just what he did. The really sad part of it is that so many of my fellow Americans ate it up and took it as truth and did not question what this man and his cronies were telling you. Took it on blind faith. You know, I would think we'd learn by now. I would think Americans would be jaded enough by now, and all that's happened in politics in this country in the last half century or more, that you do not take a politician, any politician, at face value. You listen to what he has to say. You go out and do your research. You find out to your best, the best of your ability, you find out if what he had to say is true or not. And my God, over something as trivial as this sexual matter with Bill Clinton, which was an embarrassment, a terrible embarrassment. And it was wrong. It was so wrong. And we've said that from the very beginning. I'm a liberal Democrat, and I wasn't going to defend Bill Clinton on that. It was abhorrent for him to do that, and I was ashamed of him when he did that. Ashamed. But this, this is an entirely different matter. To start a war and to decide and know that hundreds, perhaps thousands of your own citizens are going to die in that war, are going to die on the basis of a lie that you told, proves to me that we're dealing with a man with not a trace of a conscience. Not a trace. He either has no conscience or is the best, most perfect example of a pathological liar that ever lived on this planet. You cannot be the so-called leader of the free world and go before almost the entire free world and tell the most dastardly lie that's ever been told on the face of this planet because you want to stroke your ego and because you and your friends have an undeniable thirst for power. A thirst for power that is not only dangerous to this country, but it's dangerous to every nation on this earth. It's danger to the future of the United States. This war has stolen the future from many of our children. We're in a time where we cannot afford this war. Definitely can't afford this war. Our kids are going to be paying taxes for years to support this now, what is it, up to $300 billion? $300 billion? As we mentioned before, can you imagine the good that could have been done right here in our country with $300 billion? But instead, a man tells the most horrendous lie in the history of this country and opens up the purse strings and throws money at it. And, of course, much of that money come back into the pockets of the American war machine, the likes of Martin Marietta and Halliburton and those people. Friends, good friends of this administration. Hundreds of millions of dollars working bonuses gone to Halliburton. It's a mess. It's a dirty, sordid mess. And I'm so ashamed that the people of the United States have sit there and taken it from these people. I'm so very ashamed. I do hope you'll take this time to donate to the program. As we've mentioned, go to our website, www.theguyjamesshow.com. We do know it needs your help, and we hope you'll give it. We give our all in this program every week, and we hope you'll give back a little bit and help us stay on the air. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. Good night.
The cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer Gene Charles. Research director Michael Merrick. Production manager Frank Princeton. Marketing director Lila St. John. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.
Turn to when you absolutely need the truth.
The Republicans have